Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 158. Lots of news to talk about, so Pat's probably going to be talking the whole time. The rest of us are probably going to just take a nap.
So it'd be like any other week.
Yeah, I kind of want to take a nap, so... I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Okay, well, I don't see any reason to hold back. With the amount of news this week, I think this is going to be about an 8-hour podcast.
Right.
Take it, Pat.
Go.
Go. Okay, well, I guess.
That's stupid. Why are they doing that? You know, they really don't know how to. Oh, I'm sorry.
Well, hold on, because okay. I'm getting to that. We'll start with Marvel announced A-Force. The all-female Avenger team on The View, except for not on The View.
Yeah, I'm going to say there's going to be a little backlash about forcing people to watch an hour of The View and then not delivering. That was painful.
But seeing what the news was, does it really matter?
No, but you know, I wanted to see what it was. You know, I want to. I'm cutting edge.
Okay.
And yeah, so I mean, I have no problem with it. It's an all-female Avengers team. It's going to be in Secret of Invade or Secret Wars. But what's going to be weird is, okay, so all those characters are going to be in Secret Wars, but is that like the Marvel Universe, all those characters together, so that on other teams
they can't be there? Secret Wars is the Marvel Universe.
I know, but I mean, it's not like the Age of Apocalypse women or the Civil War women. Okay. So we'll find out, but yeah, it was an interesting announcement.
Are you asking if the women of Marvel get like their own separate island?
Oh,
Amazon Island.
Yes,
that's what the A stands for. We thought it was Avengers Force. No, it's Amazon Force.
It could be. But yeah, so it's an all women team written by a woman, drawn by a guy.
Well,
I'm assuming. I think it's Jorge. But or Javier something. That's a guy name, right?
Good. Yeah, I think so.
Just check it. I just don't see the need for an all female force. Adam brought up a very interesting point. He's like, what kind of threat could there be that could only be handled by a team of women?
Sirens.
Maybe, but it just seems limiting. It was interesting because, you know, the first thought was, oh, diversity, but actually it's the exact opposite of diversity. It's very exclusionary.
It feels gimmicky to me.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Like,
yeah.
I'm all about more prominently featuring these female characters in the books and, you know, making the comics more accessible to female readers and whatnot, but I feel like they're doing it the wrong way. Like, take some of your, you know, bigger name books and... you know, prop the female characters in those books a little bit. Like, give, you know, a female character a bigger role in, like, an Avengers book or something, but not take a brand-new book, make an entire female cast, and throw it out there and have an announcement on The View. It just comes across as very gimmicky and just lip service, and something's not going to last, you know,
and announcing anything on The View is a bad idea. Hopefully they'll learn that.
It doesn't come across as them genuinely wanting to do something to diversify their books and make their books more accessible. It just comes across them as saying, look what we're doing! We have an all-female book!
I just see it as that's exactly what it is. It's a way of just... I hate to say it like that way, but it's basically, here, shut up. We gave you what you want. And it's...
Yeah.
That's how they should be looking at it, because you should be looking at how they announced it.
Yeah.
They went to The View. They just assumed all women watch The View. So they were saying, we're just going to announce this on The View of all things, you know?
Yeah.
And not like that was the same thing I did with Thor.
It's not like you could have announced that book like how they usually announce things sometimes on Jimmy Kimmel or something like that. Because women don't watch Jimmy Kimmel. That would be ridiculous. They only watch The View.
Maybe Rosie O'Donnell's the new Captain Marvel.
She left the show.
Yeah. Maybe that's why. They didn't announce what she was watching.
But yeah, you're right. It feels hokey. It feels forced.
And I'm not saying the book's gonna be bad.
No,
I mean, it could be a great book. It just it feels the approach and how they're releasing it and announcing it. It feels gimmicky.
I'm only looking at it at the way that they usually bring stuff out like this. Of that, it's just like we have to have something, so let's bring something out.
Mm-hmm.
I never see those as doing well or being good. So like right now, I'm going in with this book and saying, it's not going to be good, because that's what they've given us before, and stuff very similar like this.
Look at the current Thor book. I've heard from you know, everyone, that book's phenomenal. But the way they announced it and the way, you know, they made it come across at first,
it was gimmicky.
It felt super gimmicky.
But, yeah, but in this case, I think it's different. With this being a team, I think it makes it more gimmicky. Yeah. Being that Thor, this was single, he's, you know, different characters have become other people before. You know, yeah. There's a Spider-Woman, there's a... doing this, I don't think... doing that with Thor could still work. And not make any difference. That doesn't seem like a slap in the face. What seems like a slap in the face, I think, to a lot of these, I don't know if you'd say feminists or whatever, is that the fact is you're just getting this because...
Because they're women.
Because they're wanting you to say, here, we gave it to you, here, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So back off. It's basically, and I mean, they're not saying it like that, but deep down, that's what it all means.
Yeah.
And the way they've handled doing this, it just seems like that. I mean, if you brought out a team and you were just like... You brought out an Avengers team and you said the majority of characters on there are women, then that would have been an issue. Because then it's a integrated, you know, it's all part of the same. It just makes more sense.
Yeah. But
having an old female team, what's the point?
But they had an opportunity to do it just with Spider-Verse because you had Gwen Stacy, you had May Parker, you had...
We can still get it because we have, what, 3 female Spider-Man books coming.
Yeah. But that's why, you know, you have 4 or 5 of the female Spider-Man characters that there was a reason why they could have became a team and you could have spun that off.
I'll give Marvel this. They do right now have a decent number of, like, female-focused, like, solo books currently.
Well, they do. Although, Spider-Woman has been... That one I think they dropped the ball on.
Yeah, they really... I mean, they screwed up big time with that one.
The whole thing is, though, I don't think... you know... They've canceled characters, though, that, like, I've said this before, they had Sue Storm in Fantastic Four. Well, they were getting rid of Fantastic Four. Sue Storm was the strongest character of Fantastic Four as a character. I've always saw Sue Storm as kind of, in a way, the leader. You always think of Mr. Fantastic being the leader of Fantastic Four. But in the background, he does something stupid, she knows it. She leads that team. And, you know, that's, I think, the point for a long time is that she's the leader of the family. She actually is the more responsible one, where Reed just does things for science. And then it turns out sometimes that Reed, what he's doing is going to affect and hurt more than it's good. And then she's able to fix that. But they're canceling that. You know, they're ending Fantastic Four. You know, you're ending your most strong female characters, and then they're randomly giving female characters books. Like, they gave Storm a book.
Yeah.
Does Storm really need a book of all the characters?
I can't fault them for canceling the book if it's not selling well, though. I mean, if they give it a chance and people are buying it, then it's not their fault.
Well, it is for
why do you bring it out? Like, if you don't have a plan for that book and stories to tell,
then
don't bring it out.
Not selling well and not being a good book are 2 different things.
Okay.
The book could be a good book, just not have an
audience. And I'll give you that. I'll give you that.
The problem they had with Fantastic Four is they kept relaunching it so much that it just became...
Now that's their fault.
Irrelevant, yeah.
And they had Hickman on it. And Hickman, I don't want to say that he did bad. What he did was drawn out a book for how long? 3 years? And then it kept going and going. There was nowhere to jump onto this book for anybody.
And then when it relaunched with Fraction, I remember rolling my eyes only because it relaunched right out of... AVX was it AVX or Age of Ultron?
I
just remember you had the Age of Ultron thing with the we can't time travel, and it started immediately with time traveling. I just remember going, this is dumb. I think I read the first one, and that was about it.
That wasn't that bad of a storyline. It was interesting, but it wasn't great.
They tend to not clear things up, too. Like, if you're... They had a lot of issues going on when I was reading it, and that was around Hickman, because I was reading Hickman's around it. It just got so drawn out that I gave it up. But Reed and Sue weren't getting along very well, and I don't know if they actually finally, like, fixed that or what, that they were just, they solved their differences or whatever. And that was after Civil War, so that's how long that went, because Civil War, they were on both different sides.
Right,
You know, none of that got cleared up. Like, it's just... It's the same, like, editorial issues that I just don't like with Marvel anymore. But I don't know. But they don't have the female character. Like, they do, they'll bring them out, but they don't have strong female characters. They never really did, you know, because that's not what Stan Lee was writing at the time. he was writing all these, a lot of male characters. And yeah. The only one that he really created was, what, Sue. And,
well, but that's, but where you can't, DC, you can't take what, you know, we wrote this character in the 60s, it wasn't a strong character then, but that doesn't mean a good writer can't turn her into a strong character
I think
now.
They've done it's a good job though. Taking Carol Danvers and transitioning her from Ms. Marvel to Captain Marvel.
And they tried with Spider-Woman. They've tried with Spider-Woman.
I think they have done a good job of that with Spider-Woman in some books, not with her main book. Well, maybe the content's fine. I haven't read the book, but like with the how, with the publicity you got for the first issue.
Yeah. Well, they screwed up there like they usually do, is they start her in an event, and people don't want to pick it up. Yeah. A lot of people, I don't want to pick
now
it up.
Now, we'll see how...
Well, no, because, I mean, even the main book turned into just buy these four other books. So yeah, I'm not buying those four other books to say, here, now go buy these four other books.
We'll see how Silk... And Spider-Gwen do. I don't know. How does the Storm book do? Not great.
No.
But you have to have a reason. I don't think they really have a reason
There didn't seem to be a real reason for that book other than just...
And you can't just do that, and that's not what... I don't think a lot of women are looking for them just to bring out a book just to have a book. They're wanting a book that they can read. That's going to be an interesting character and an interesting story, just like one of us would be looking for.
Like
and it doesn't...
Especially about a female character that... you're not familiar with. It really needs a unique voice to it.
I always thought
to make it stand out, like something like Ms. Marvel, which seems to have a unique voice.
I always liked
Kamala
Khan.
Well, one writer I always liked with DC was Gail Simone. Mm-hmm. And I like Gail Simone because I don't think she's overly preachy in her books, where you get a lot of female writers
there's
that will be writing a book.
There's feminist tone, but it's not overbearing.
Yes, it's not overbearing, exactly. And...
it feels more natural. Like, it feels like a natural story.
And I think the only thing where
DC
kind of screwed up is I don't think DC let her do a lot of what she was trying to do.
Yeah.
And that's why she left that book. But, you
know. She was in that book for a while, though, too. Like, not like she jumped off quickly.
But it doesn't hurt to get more. But, you know, they also, Marvel also has to find these writers, you know. And if there's not a lot of writers out there, that are female writers that are wanting to write comic books.
Yeah.
I can see that they could have issue finding that.
Well, and if there's not a lot of demand for a particular character, there's no reason to bring out a Storm book if no one's going to read a Storm book.
Yeah, exactly.
She can be a character in the X-Men book and be that. And
their only reason really for, I think, bringing out this Spider-Gwen book isn't because, well, for two reasons. One, okay, we get to throw out a female character at it. Two, it had really pretty art. People liked it. But was the story really that great? I didn't think too much of that Spider-Gwen book.
No.
And I don't think it's going to
last. I think it was an interesting concept.
You mean the Edge of Spider-Verse?
Yeah. It's an interesting concept that a Gwen could become that. I thought the origin story of the character was kind of just like,
I don't know. I was okay with all that.
I really enjoyed the issue. I thought out of those five books, it was one of the better ones.
I agree with
Noir. I like the Noir one.
Yeah, I like the Noir one.
I actually like Spider-Gwen more than Spider-Noir.
But here's the thing, if her universe gets destroyed anyway, which is what they're going to do, what's the point of this book? Or is it a situation where they say, you know, and I don't know, I haven't read today's Spider-Man, so I don't know what happens, but hey, we can't send you guys back.
They didn't really resolve that at all. That's going to be in the epilogue.
If they put her...
Because, I mean, that might be what it is, or she just says, I got nowhere to go, my family's dead, whatever, I'm just going to stay here in 616. Okay,
I was just
going to
say, if they
sense.
Do that, it sounds like a lot of Spider-Man people are going to be happy. I mean, they killed off Peter, let alone bring back Gwen from the dead.
But it's not the same Gwen.
I don't care.
Oh, I get that, but it's not going to matter in 2 months anyway, so...
Now, I get what you're saying, but they don't usually.
The pizza.
She's fell off the bridge, so.
Damn pizza.
Pizza.
First a bridge, now
Spider-Man
the pizza.
Will save her. Oh, no.
I hope they have, like, a pizza variant cover for one of these issues.
That would be Miles Morales.
And the pizza party.
Miles Morales just like hanging onto a pizza, putting him in
there. With all this pizza talk, I'm expecting the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles to show up on this.
Okay, let me move on to the next.
Yeah.
One. So, I guess staying with Marvel, the other news was Spider-Man is going to potentially join the MCU, and that caused some change into some other plans.
Welcome home, finally.
Yeah.
So is this who the welcome home was for?
Yeah.
Woo!
Star Wars has been welcome home for a long time.
So Sony and Marvel got together and they agreed that Spider-Man will be able to show up in a Marvel a MC.
That's right. That
no, they did not make a baby. No, I'll explain how that
made
works
a
later.
Baby.
So Spider-Man can show up in the MCU, and Marvel will help produce Sony's Spider-Man franchise, which will be independent of the MCU. Although it seems like we'll share the same actor to play Spider-Man in both.
It will... No, it won't be completely independent. It'll have kind of a shared continuity because they said characters from the MCU could
can show up.
Show up there.
But here's kind of where the caveat to that is. They're still planning on doing the spin-offs, the Sinister Six and the Venom spin-off.
Yeah. They can do that and still have it in the same universe.
Right, they could. It just depends on how tight they want to keep that to the MCU version of the Spider-Man universe. And then once that happened, the day of they're announcing the new Sony Spider-Man movie was the original date that Thor 3 was supposed to come out. So Thor 3 got bumped to Black Panther. Black Panther got bumped to Captain Marvel. Captain Marvel got bumped back to the Inhumans. And then the Inhumans got moved, but they haven't announced a date for it yet. The only thing
it's taking off so well.
Yeah. Well, you know, everyone loves Sky, so that's why.
We haven't we don't have an episode till what? April?
March 3rd.
March 3rd.
Which character? Whose character was never an Inhuman?
Yeah, well, she is now.
She is now. They had to explain that somehow.
But the only thing that didn't
move mutants
was the two Avengers movies. They kept them on Free Comic Book Weekend. Which,
shocking.
Yeah, I can't imagine them bumping that for anything. You know,
and it is a reboot.
It will be a reboot.
Andrew Garfield is gone.
Yeah,
is what they're saying right now.
He's gone. Mark Webb's gone.
Right, and the last I heard was they want to take him back to a high schooler.
Yeah.
Now that
I hope
kind
we could
of,
do another origin.
That we can only hope.
Uncle Ben this time.
Yes, and will
Kevin Costner.
Will it be Miles Morales now?
I could see you as an Uncle Ben.
Your uncle.
See
Bob.
Me?
That's he said Colin.
Yeah.
Just say it. With great power comes great responsibility. That's your only line. And oh God.
I've been shot.
That's about it.
Yeah.
And something about wheat cakes.
Yeah. No, that was Doc Ock.
No, Aunt May made great wheat cakes.
Right.
She made it for everybody. Even Doc Ock, because they were a thing.
Yeah, I know.
She got around.
I didn't get any.
She got around.
They got around. You didn't. You weren't there.
Yeah.
Aunt May never liked you, Josh.
But,
just mean.
So Spider-Man is supposed
to...
Spider-Man is supposed to show up in an MCU movie first, and obviously the one everybody's pointing to is Civil War. And we talked about this a little bit before the podcast. But... It loses the impact because the part of the reason why Spider-Man's unveiling of himself in Civil War was so impactful was you had 40 years of history of him trying to keep his identity secret and being around and being an important character and, you know, he shows himself off. Well, he hasn't been part of the MCU. We haven't seen him to this point. So how much of an impact does it really make?
He's going to show up in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
And then they'll have him show up in Daredevil. They'll cut another scene with that just to get him in there.
Why don't
so
they do a show?
Some...
Why don't they do a TV show?
Spider-Man and his amazing friends, except for they can't use Iceman and Firestar.
I mean, if they're planning to take the character back to high school, he would work well in a TV show format.
Flash is.
Yeah. But see,
well,
I think if they bring him back to high school, though, I think that kind of works out a little bit because... Tony and Cap can kind of wrestle for the soul of Spider-Man.
But he just graduated in the last one year. You know.
Yeah.
It's not a lot of time for him to even become Spider-Man. I you know what direction they'll probably go in more? Is that they'll go in the Ultimate direction. Because that's what they did with Avengers.
Yeah.
And who knows what they'll, if they'll even do it the same way as they did with Civil War. Like, and he might not even show up in Civil War. That could be speculation. I mean, that's a lot of speculation.
But that is the first one to come out. And
they're the first people to be wrong, because they always go in the opposite direction.
I mean, he's not going to show up in Doctor Strange. It's another character's origin. So the only move that makes sense is Vader. Civil War.
I mean, he would.
Well, yeah, he's not going to be
he could be an Infinity Gauntlet.
I think that's kind of late to show.
But it might be enough time to develop the character a little bit.
But I think that's kind of Civil War is next year.
Infinity Gauntlet's too far back, because if they're moving things,
that's, but Cap's too close.
No, it isn't. They haven't started making it yet.
Oh, I thought you said it was going to be next year.
Well, it is. They start filming in April.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So they still have time to put
him in. A little bit of time, but being that he's a high school student, I don't know. I mean, it's possible. That might be what they're going for. But they might not even go in the same direction as they say. You know, it might be that he's choosing sides or something like that.
But they could show him as that he has had.
He might not even unmask in this.
They could play it up that he's already had these powers for a little while, but once he saw, like, the Avengers and these other powered people out there, that's when he decided to do something with it.
Yeah, I mean, the advantage of the post-Avengers movies has been they've been smaller, kind of truncated timeline, you know, character-driven pieces. So it's, you know, like we joked about it, but he could have been fighting Chitauri in Central Park, no one saw him, and then, you know, have him swing through the air in one of these movies. You don't even have to cast an actor. It's CGI, where they get a stunt guy to do it. It doesn't matter. But it shows he belongs in that universe. There's a lot of positives of him joining it, because he's an important character to the overall Marvel history. But to be honest, the MCU didn't have him, and they've done just fine in the last 11 years.
Yeah.
Sony needs this more than Marvel needs this. Yes. Marvel would like to have him there. But Sony
Marvel wants
needs
him as front and center again, and they can't really use him as much front and center because he's not a part of their world.
The only thing I think that Marvel needs really out of this is now that they're looking towards, you know, Iron Man fading out of the picture in their movies, and probably Thor and Cap not too far from now either, since they're going to be in their third movies. They need another, you know, big, prominent, iconic Marvel character, and I'm sorry, but Doctor Strange and Ant-Man are not those.
Black Panther's the other thing. Inhumans.
You know, talking about...
He doesn't have the answer to that one.
You know, I made a scowl, though.
Yeah.
Kind of the rumor that's going around, and again, it's just a rumor, it's pure speculation at this point, but the first part of the Infinity Gauntlet is essentially going to be a new Avengers movie, and... Iron Man and Thor and all them don't really show up until the end of that or the second part of the Avengers movie. And that's just it. Who do you have as your new Avengers? You got Black Panther, you got War Machine, you got Doctor Strange.
Quicksilver and Scarlet Witch.
Right. I mean,
Ultron.
You don't really have an A-list person to lead that.
Is Captain Marvel coming out before or after that movie?
I think it comes out before.
So
I mean, that's a potential. And that's, you know, the other piece of it is Spider-Man is...
Maybe Hulk, essentially, he's only been in one movie as Mark Ruffalo.
Right, but, you know, that depends what happens, too. You know, they could shoot him off into space and do a Planet Hulk movie.
They could probably get Mark Ruffalo to do more movies in the future than they can get Robert Downey Jr. and Chris Evans. And
yeah.
I think a Planet Hulk movie would do really well.
I would love a Planet Hulk movie.
I would too.
I think that would. I think people would receive
it. Or even if you kind of hybrid it and do half Planet Hulk, half World War Hulk.
No, I don't even want the World War Hulk. I just want Planet
Hulk.
The
Hulk is a difficult character because I don't want to see...
Smash.
Well, yeah. I mean, that's just it. I want to see Hulk smash, but you don't want to see that for 2 hours because if he did that, he broke Harlem.
I always skip the first Hulk movie right to the scene where he escapes in the desert.
Yeah.
And that's the fun part after that.
That's a great thing about Planet Hulk, though, is because he smashes, but at the same time, he's in a place where Hulk
doesn't matter.
Well, he's not the strong...
I like your explanation of that. The thing about Hulk is that he smashes. Like, only we could be having this conversation.
He's the strongest, but at the same time, there's...
And the smashiest.
There's valid... Yes. There's actual threats to Hulk, you know... In Planet Hulk,
he does
on Earth, there's nothing really that's going to stand toe-to-toe with him. But in Planet Hulk, on Scar, I mean, he has threats. So he actually has to, you know, build these this alliance and this, you know.
Well, one cool thing I think they did in that book was when he went through space and all that, he lost some ability.
Yeah.
Right. And then he gained weakness a little bit as Hulk. But he couldn't transform back, which might have been the same thing. He couldn't. Because he wouldn't transform.
We saw a weakened Hulk. We saw a Hulk with friends. We saw a Hulk with a romance subplot.
Hulk had a lot going on.
Planet Hulk had everything.
And Meek.
And Meek. Meek got wacky.
Smashed.
Yeah. Meek betrayed, so.
Yeah.
Meek got stepped on.
After Meek Hulked out.
Yeah.
Planet Hulk was a good book, though.
World War Hulk was all right, but Planet Hulk was so good that World War Hulk...
It was okay.
World War Hulk ended with him and Sentry slap fighting.
Yeah, that was the weird thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I wasn't...
Wouldn't you love to see that on screen, though?
I wasn't really a big Hulk fan slap of Sentry, though. Like, no. Sentry was just a boring character to me. He was just... I mean, yeah, he was all ready to snap, but it didn't even make any sense why he was there. But they kind of lost the character in Civil War because everything else was going on, so nobody was paying attention. What Sentry's kind of a nut. They were just wanting the strong guy on their side, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But
okay, so moving on from Marvel, then we got DC news.
What did Boom do?
Well, you're skipping the rest of the Marvel stuff. We got a Daredevil trailer.
Yeah.
That was a couple weeks ago, wasn't it?
No, that was...
I thought that was 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago. I thought we talked about that.
Week.
Well, I apologize.
The full-blown trailer.
I saw the
incomplete news.
Yeah, we talked about it.
No, there was a teaser for it.
No, we saw the full-blown one, too.
Was it was the full-blown one before the podcast last week?
No, because it was on Wednesday. It came in on Wednesday.
I retract my...
Well, I wouldn't retract it yet until you get more research.
Yeah.
What's Hulk say?
Hulk say smash.
Smash this.
Smush?
Smash this.
You say smush?
No, Hulk said smush. I said smash.
Hulk say
rewind
this. Can you rewind the volume?
Yes.
Okay, so moving on to DC.
What? What about MODOK? You didn't talk one thing about MODOK.
Do you want to talk about MODOK?
Gotta mention, we can't be biased.
Okay, there's a MODOK Assassins book.
That's right.
Because you demanded it.
That's right.
Just play along, because he's going to regret this procrastinating towards the end when he's ready to go home and go to bed.
I know. Let's just draw this out a little bit more. Here. I'm just hoping for a team-up book with Angela and MODOK, Assassins for Hire.
Why not?
Elektra.
But she doesn't have Assassin in her,
or
in her
title.
She had a book called Elektra Assassin. That's where they got the MODOK Assassin from.
Right, but right now you have Angela, Assassin of Asgard, and MODOK.
Are we debating
Angela Asgard's assassin?
No, Angela's definitely an assassin, but right now they
is
got
there assassin
books.
In the Black Widow?
No.
Book's title?
No, it's just Black Widow. Just Black
she is an assassin. She can't be a part of this team. We can have all full female team, but we can't have an all assassin team. That's discrimination.
It could be like Charlie's Angels, and MODOK is Charlie.
That's what the A stands for. An A force.
Assassin Angels? Force.
Assassin force.
Assassin.
I like my idea better for the Charlie's Angels version. That could be interesting.
I wish we did know what the A was. Guess it's Avengers. I don't know.
Probably Avengers.
Probably Avengers.
Still sounds stupid.
Yeah, not the best title. I don't think that one made it around the table. I think someone decided
that. I mean, X
that.
Works in a way because it's a letter and it works with... At the time it was created, but...
Not really.
A, and then eventually... No, I know. I'm trying to get one.
So are we getting
an
A factor? And this is credit to Kurt Busiek. He's like, I can live with A factor and A statics, but he draws the line at A Terminators.
Okay.
So go ahead. DC news. Did DC have any news?
Nope. DC had news.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Except for they're dropping the new 52 branding and they're canceling 6 books... Oh, and they announced 24 new books.
Oh, they're giving up.
About that?
They're just going
to.
They should
about?
Just give up.
No, they just did that Friday.
Only 6 books are
canceled? Well, no, six
additional.
They didn't
they
talk about
even
before.
Canceled.
Well, some yes. So
repurposed.
The new ones they did were Earth 2, Justice League 3000, Justice League Dark.
No. Oh, those the new cancel.
Yeah, these are the new cancels. Supergirl, Batman and Robin, and Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Kind of
but
they got repurposed.
Yeah, and then they got repurposed, except for Supergirl.
Yeah.
She fell off the pizza.
So they, yeah.
So she's getting ready for that all-girl DC team.
Yeah.
The, so DC. Excellent. So then they announced 24 new books. So we have Batman Beyond, Batmite, Bizarro.
Now, some of these are minis.
Yeah, Batmite's a mini.
Well, Batmite, Bizarro, and...
Robbins.
Harley Quinn and Power Girl were originally announced as minis, but then they took that branding off.
I noticed that. I couldn't find any more about that, so, okay.
Constantine Hellblazer.
On the page, they still have it listed as minis.
Okay.
For Batmite and Bizarro.
Cyborg, Dark Universe, Doomed.
Well, let's go back to a second. Cyborg is good. You know the writer. He writes your favorite book.
That's right, Shaft.
So you have Shaft. No,
Shaft is right.
A Shaft Cyborg team up.
David Walker.
That would be
David
awesome.
Walker, who the neat thing is an African American writer.
Yeah.
So writing, just said it. Is writing a book. So I like that. Like when you have a woman writing a woman book, just he's going to have a little more insight. You know, because I always find
it's great to have a man writing a man book.
Right. No, but when you have
Cyborg writing a cyborg.
No. No, I'm sorry.
They're going to cut off David Walker's arm, put a cyborg arm on.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's writing cyborg.
No, I just meant when you have like a minority writing a minority book, because instead of getting, you know, the white man's view of how they think.
Instead of announcing it on a minority.
I don't want to listen to anything.
I'll try to increase the brightness for you.
Don't worry about it.
Make a minority full
team.
Not
that old. Okay, go again. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. I just want to make little comments about it.
Do you want to start from the beginning?
Yeah.
Batman Beyond.
That's fine. I don't know anything about Batman Beyond.
But, the one I'm surprised about this. Dan Jurgens is writing this.
Yeah.
And nothing. Kyle Higgins is not writing any of these new books.
Right.
And when Kyle was here, he is a big fan of the Batman Beyond.
I don't think Kyle Higgins is that firmly with DC.
I don't think
anymore.
It's.
Well, but they got him writing Eternal or parts of
which
Eternal.
Which is ending soon.
I get that, but I'm surprised that they didn't have him because he loves this character.
Yeah, but
I didn't have him do it.
I think something may have happened that he's just.
And that could be
done with
DC. Well, and plus he had his own image book and stuff, and maybe he's a little enthralled with that.
That could be.
I'm wondering if this is even the Batman Beyond book and character that he was writing.
I think this Batman Beyond book is going to be
spinning out
the Batman Beyond
time.
That we're seeing
That's
right
what
now.
I think it is.
And not
yeah.
the Batman Beyond universe.
I think it's his fixed time. Like, what's going to happen is whatever
you're
going to
see Terry McGinnis
are fixed.
Yeah.
So the universe that he was from. Never existed, and then this is the new Batman Beyond future
he
timeline.
Can't go back.
Well, yeah, that's...
Or he goes back and he's fine. Like
he can't
Flash.
Go back.
Well, there's nothing to go
they
back
They already
to.
Said something to the effect of once he goes, it's a one-way trip. And once he goes, that's
I mean, there's... How many ways of time travel are there in
yeah.
the
well,
universe?
But
I really hope that's not the case, because I don't want to see him in current timeline. It's the same problem with Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah.
It's just it's not interesting
they
having him
that
here.
Too. Yeah.
Frack that, or whatever he says. What does he say?
No.
Spider-Man 2099? He says a word similar
yeah,
to that.
Frack.
Yeah,
ESG.
Frack.
What are you talking about? Is it?
Anyway.
Is frack too?
Yeah.
So fractious, like the universal word for
I don't really know.
The fire truck.
Wait, what was the other one for?
BSG says frack.
Battlestar Galactica. Sorry, you don't know the terminology.
Could be the same one.
No, because Battlestar Galactica took place in the past. So.
No, I mean they
it was
might
somehow
just,
the future.
No, I mean they might just be using the same word.
What?
Might not be.
Yeah, you're right. I tried to block that out a little bit, but
okay. Black Canary is getting her own book.
Mm-hmm. Again, with a good creative team on that one, with Brendan
Fletcher,
who is the co-writer of Batgirl,
okay,
and then Annie Wu.
Batmite, 6-issue mini.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dan Jurgens again. That's weird. Okay.
Bizarro, 6-issue mini.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing there.
I'm looking forward to that. I think that's going to be a fun book.
Oh, 2-0.
Constantine Hellblazer, or Constantine the Hellblazer.
Yeah, which is weird because... They're re-adding Hellblazer into the title, even though the show is just Constantine. So
the show is done after this week.
No,
anyways,
it'll be going
so.
To sci-fi.
That's right, but from what I understand...
There's enough of an audience, they're not going to let that die.
But the rumor is when it moves to sci-fi, if
it'll
moves
be Hellblazer.
To sci-fi, it'll be Hellblazer.
Okay, that's fine with me. I have no problem with
Which
that.
Which could be the situation, but like the Constantine
Riley Rossimo
name,
and the art.
And this is being written by Ming Doyle and James Tinian.
Yeah.
They put the Constantine name on this book already, though, and a lot of people even complained about it not being called Hellblazer, so that might be a lot of the reason behind it, too. The Hellblazer name markets it better than just Constantine.
Dark Universe, which is the new version of Justice League Dark.
Right. So another one repurposed. Tinian and Ming Doyle.
Yeah, Doyle on art this time.
Doomed.
I don't know what that is.
We don't know what that is.
What I read, and I could be completely wrong, is it's supposed to deal with Doomsday as a teenager.
I just love...
Like a teenage version of Doomsday.
I just love ridiculous. People saying that the book is named in a way that describes right. it.
It's already
getting meta. Because it's Scott Lobdell that's writing it.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'm already done.
Dr. Fate.
You skipped over Green Lantern Lost Army.
Well, no. His
going
list
in alphabetical
is in a different order.
Oh.
Okay. But Dr. Fate by Paul Levitt.
Just set a good order right then, and then it lost. That's what happened.
Earth 2 Society, which is,
Earth
I guess,
two.
The continuation
Earth
of Earth
2 slash Justice Society.
Which okay. makes me wonder, so does Earth 2 survive then?
That's the thing. And that's what I'm really curious mm-hmm. about, is yeah. what happens with Future Zen.
No, like, I'm not sure who those people are. Although Daniel Wilson, for some reason, is ringing a bell.
He's the one that's writing Earth 2 now.
Are the okay. events... The thing is...
Or he's doing Earth 2 World's End. Or no, is that Tom King?
No, Tom King is on Grayson.
Okay.
He is doing Earth 2 World's End, but I think he's also writing Earth 2.
Okay.
Are the Earth 2, like, characters, are they going to go across the like, timeline?
We don't know.
You know as much as
Is that the future? Because, really, what we're looking at is nothing really changed the time.
We know a title and... creative team.
Yeah. Well, no, what I'm saying is, like, with
I mean, in 2 weeks, I'll know more next week.
It should be happening. Like, the events of Future's End should happen.
Yes, sure.
Because nothing in time has changed and made it so those don't happen. Yeah. But the events of the future,
you and Jim Lee just sitting there going,
yep, you got it.
Are still happening. So, I don't know. I've been a little curious at how they're going to fit Future's End into the main continuity. Or, you know.
Yeah.
The main book.
Future's End is almost done. It's like
yeah.
what, three
well,
more
everything
issues.
Four,
yeah, three or four issues.
Yeah.
Green Lantern, Lost Army.
Replacing the other ones.
Oh, I'm assuming it's replacing Core, mostly. Mm-hmm. Harley Quinn, Power Girl. This is another six-issue mini. Yeah.
And Cullen Bunn's on that Green Lantern
yeah.
book.
Yeah. And he's doing Sinestro right now, which is a pretty decent book.
Yeah.
You know, I enjoyed the Harley Quinn issues where she was teamed up with Power Girl, so this is another one that could be interesting.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they do it, though, because it worked before because Power Girl had amnesia. So I'm very curious to see how this plays out with Power Girl knowing who she is.
Hurley's going to have amnesia. No.
Cool.
Justice League of America.
By Hitch.
Brian Hitch on art and
apparently
writing.
He's been working
like,
on this for a couple
well,
years.
Well, they say
yeah,
story-wise.
Like
yeah, well, okay. That's how long they've been talking about it. He hasn't been working on it that long. But he said he has 48 pages done, so that's a good sign.
So I'm wondering, though, is this... Because they're keeping the main Justice League book,
yeah.
mm-hmm. and then they have this. Is this going to be similar to what they did with the JLA book before, where it was
I think
kind of
the promo
yeah, book.
That the promo art has all the...
I haven't seen the promo art.
Core has the core Justice League people in it.
Really?
Well, one of the key things I don't think we talked about was before, in the big announcement of all this, is that they're ending the new 52.
Right.
Or ending that
the brand.
Line, the branding.
Yeah.
And that they're concentrating more on stories than on continuity. So it's just kind of like, hey, Brian Hitch, you want to do a 12-issue Justice League story? Here you go.
Yeah.
So it doesn't necessarily have to tie into or affect things. I think the other thing we might get out of this is less events. Because things aren't going to necessarily tie together.
Yeah.
You can get a big event with all the characters, but it's not going to tie in through all the books.
Plus
so you
crossovers.
Can, so you can have Forever Evil, which in reality only tied into Justice League.
Yeah.
Right,
which
but what
worked.
It actually did, though, was it derailed the other book stories where, you know, you had to go... I mean, Batman was at 0 year at that time.
Right.
And then The Flash was doing... because the characters weren't there, so it caused problems.
Yeah, so I think they're getting away from that, which I think is going to lead to better stories. Continuity's fun and all, but, you know, you're going to nitpick, oh, wait, you know, he was driving a red car and, you know...
What?
Little
comic
things like
people
that.
Don't do that.
Yes, they do.
Justice League 3001, which is...
Oh, I can't believe they canceled. It was so funny, because first Bleeding Cool reported Justice League 3000 was canceled. I'm like, I'm not surprised, but okay.
Disappointed.
And then all of a sudden I look on the list, I see 3001, and I laughed out loud, and Sandy's like, what? I said, it's so fitting. It just makes sense.
It's 1 year later.
Yeah.
And then you
Life
explained that
away.
She shook her
yeah.
head and she was like, what a nerd.
Yeah.
Oh, all mine, folks.
Yeah.
That's what she was. I wasn't yeah. saying that.
Yeah.
I like how you have to clarify that.
Martian Manhunter.
Interesting.
You know, and he hasn't really done a whole lot.
I was thinking the same thing. What is it other
not
than...
Not really. And yeah. What I like is Ben Oliver's doing that, and Ben Oliver did the original run of Batwing, and I loved his art, so this could be interesting.
Okay. Midnighter.
Good, you know, because and some people are saying, well, you know, finally they got a Wildstorm character back. And some people I heard were saying, you know, why in the world are we getting this? I'm like, well, he's been in Grayson, you know, and he's been kind of interesting in Grayson. So why not? He's a great character. So, I don't know Steve Orlando off the top of my head.
Mystic U.
It's just, it's going to be probably more, where Dark U is going to be a little more supernatural. This could be a little more Zatanna,
okay.
Tim Hunter, that kind of
okay.
that kind of thing. And I like the artist. So.
Oh, Megan.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, TBA.
Yeah, it's my favorite artist, yeah. TBA.
Good line work.
Omega Man.
Interesting, but Tom King, who's doing something over there.
He's co-writing Grayson.
Great, okay. So, yeah, why not? We haven't, you know, that, well, we still have a Lobo book, though, so that's interesting. Because Lobo spun out of Omega Men originally.
Okay.
So, and then the cynical part of me says, okay, Omega Men is a trademark claim. Batmite might have been a trademark claim. There's another one, shoot.
Prez.
Which is probably a trademark claim. Yeah.
Yeah, so Prez would be the next one. Mm-hmm. And then,
yeah, because we need that one.
Red Hood and Arsenal, which, you know...
I mean,
when they
Prez could be interesting. It's about a girl who gets voted president via Twitter. Yeah. So that's definitely... You see what they're aiming at.
Yeah, this is a team book. Like, but there's
Ms. Marvel.
Yeah.
Well, but there's another one that fits a little bit better down further. Red Hood and Arsenal, which is going to be taken over.
Basically continuing, yeah.
Robin, son of Batman.
Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Patrick Gleason.
Patrick Gleason on both Arnie and Robin.
Yeah.
Right.
So this makes me think that...
Tomasi has something going on. He did tweet that, that he's not going away. And
well,
he's still doing something in the Batman.
He's still on Superman Wonder Woman, too.
Yeah.
But it makes me think that we're going to see Robin with his new powers and Batman
and it's got a little
heads and...
Yes. It'll be focused more on him than...
Do you remember last
Batman?
Week we were talking about, like, who would take over Batman?
Yeah.
Scott Snyder left. And it kind of... I was thinking about that a little more, about, like, what we were talking about with... Tomasi could, and right now he has nothing in the works.
I don't think he could.
It depends on what kind of way they're going, is the thing.
Well, I think that's why Eternal works well for him, because they get different writers.
Yeah.
They can try out to write Batman stories that they can say, yeah, this he's hitting it, and then...
Yeah.
I think Tomasi works well writing the, you know, father-son, like the...
Relationship
the
between them. But
I don't think he works for writing, like, a normal, like...
Batman story.
I was going back to what you were saying about the Detective Comics team.
Yeah, Manipul Buccioletto.
And I'm going to be talking when we get to the books about that issue last week. But like after reading that issue, I could see that. I could see that
heck
more.
Yeah.
Even the art. The art has been really decent.
Has it darkened up?
Yeah, they darkened it up a little enough. For what
they
darken
it while still having. Bright colors in there, though. Like,
yeah.
There's bright
not
colors.
Not as bright as what they were coloring as, let's say, Zero Year. Because Zero Year, he was trying to add some color to it. But, like, they were trying to use really hot colors, not so many. They were trying to do a little bit of both. It was really different color.
I don't know. I absolutely love what's going on with Detective Comics right now. The art, I think, has been fantastic.
And I could see that. But
they're just a killer team. They're going to Flash. They're doing this.
Yeah, I love the Flash.
They work really well together.
I can see, like, two people right now, and that's the thing, that two people that aren't on any of these lists, and we just mentioned one of them, which wasn't Tomasi, but it was Kyle Higgins, and I mentioned that. And Kyle Higgins has nothing now. And so I don't know. I don't know what direction they'll go in, but you're not going to get the same thing.
And that's the thing.
People need to be more open by when it gets to the point of when they do this, because it's not going to be the same type of feel, because that creative team had a very unique feel to it.
He must be working on something completely different, too, because aside from Eternal, I think his only book right now is Cal, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He has nothing else.
You know, I'm not a huge fan of this.
Story-wise,
I don't mind him.
I was until I met him here.
Exactly.
When we
met him here, he just seemed very, like, what's the other guy's name that was here?
Brian Buccioletto.
He was great.
He was really cool.
He was, really
he was
nice.
Awesome. He was very
Kyle
personable.
Kyle seemed very just...
Like he was put out by being here.
Yeah, and he just seemed very... like, not that he was showing off. He seemed
it's
very
not
arrogant.
Snobbish, but almost.
Like, yeah. I get, he seemed like he was busy dealing with something that came up, but at the same time, it's like, I mean,
he just didn't seem
you've volunteered
very,
to come here. Like,
yeah, and
if you don't
I just,
want to be here, don't
he didn't
come.
Seem like he wanted to be there.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. And after that, like, now when I read his stuff, that's what I think of. Because I'm just like, he wasn't very friendly.
Yeah, because before that, I was a huge.
Like, he didn't really have to be, like, totally friendly, but he seemed like, you know, he did not want to be there.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I
just talking to him, like,
it's really difficult.
Like, he was just, like, brushing people off.
Yeah. And it's just really difficult to read a lot of his stuff, even when he left Nightwing, and I was just like, eh, I don't care.
Like, Buccioletto, he was very personable.
More than
very personable.
Talked to people, you know, at length. I mean, he.
Yeah, and he was drawing
sketches for people.
Yeah, for him.
Sketches are awesome.
He didn't just do like sketches. He did total watercolor.
We have a Flash watercolor sketch.
I thought of that. I still feel like I should have did Flash, but I wanted to do something that he didn't do before.
He was only...
So I wanted him to do. I asked him to do Damian Robin.
That's pretty cool.
Okay,
and that's why I had him do that.
That's stupid.
But he was only,
then I had to do a picture
$40.
Of Colin, and it looked awful. But I was like, this looks good.
Did you ever hang yours up?
No, it's still over here.
Man,
it's in the bathroom. But that's a good thing around here.
Yeah.
It's in the bathroom. You made it.
All right, back to the list.
Section 8, which is a Garth Ennis Limited.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that's going to be about.
I think that's the characters from Hitman.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that's what they did say. On
right.
That.
Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Section 8. Yeah. And that's Ennis, which is cool. And though that's a limited. Okay.
Yeah, it's limited. The next one, Starfire.
Jimmy Palmiotti and Nick Honor.
This is the one that feels to me like it's going to be the Miss Marvel.
I don't think so. I think
it's very desexualized. The concept art I saw on that was very desexualized.
I think it's
going to
be like
versus,
Quinn because they, I mean, Hurley,
yeah. No,
Quinn.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's going to be that, but it's going to be. Focused on more of a teen book than...
I think it's going to be the same demographic that you're going after with Harley Quinn.
Okay.
Somewhat. I don't think it's going to be as extreme.
Well, yeah, because she's not
as
wacky
Quinn?
As
no.
Harley Quinn.
I mean, she could have been the same, but I get what Pat's saying, that her outfit is basically the Teen Titans outfit.
Right, and that's, yeah, and that's what it looks like.
But I think that's
it's
about
better. I
it.
Mean,
but
I think her outfit was kind of ridiculous in...
Yeah,
Red Hood and the Outlaws.
But. I think it's a little much. The whole thing about Starfire is
I love
just
a trampy
like
Starfire,
a while,
but you know it goes
yeah.
to
well,
a point.
It was too much.
You should tell your story about when you had your customer come in here looking at the Starfire statue.
Oh yeah, it was funny. He's in with a kid, and he's like, "Who's this character here?" I'm like, "Starfire." He's like, "From Teen Titans." I said, "Yeah." He's like, "Wow!" And the kid looks up and goes, "She needs a shirt." So it's kind of funny. It's like, well, guess
but
what?
But it's just
she
like,
is.
But that's the thing. Things have to evolve like that because they're already teaching kids about this type of thing. And as these kids get older and they're looking at, not that, but that's not what they're familiar with, okay? Not the look of Starfire.
Yeah.
They like that. The thing about it is, it's not the character.
Where this is going, but
so when
days.
They
I'm scared.
When they well, the thing is, when they look
I am
at
too, and I'm in the conversation.
When somebody looks at the character though up there, they don't know who it is, and you do need to market it towards what the younger audience. If you're wanting to sell it to the younger audience, you need to market it what they know. And if you're not, going
yeah, that's definitely not the Teen Titans
Starfire.
Go. Yeah,
and that's the thing.
That's your Red Hood and the Outlaws, Starfire.
Yeah, and I think that was a little much anyways.
Yeah,
they really didn't do too much to hide anything in that
she
book.
Was wearing hardly anything. She was... Silence your phone.
Sorry, I just did. I'm very sorry.
And
it's not us you need to apologize to. It's them.
Like, the character...
I'm sorry.
In the little bit I read...
I have to
of,
get cough drops on the way home.
It's okay.
In,
all right.
In the little bit I read in the beginning of Red Hood and the Outlaws, like, she seemed, like, super sexualized, too, in that
yeah.
book.
So, yeah, it was definitely overly sexualized, which I, you know, I think that this will certainly tone it down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the same, you know, Harley Quinn is...
It's hard
in
to
a lot
judge.
Of, in a lot of media, not so much her book, but in a lot of media, she is overly sexualized. Now, it doesn't mean she's not sexy in her book, because
yes.
there's definitely that
it's
in there.
It's a little different.
But it's toned down versus, say, the in, Arkham Asylum getup, where it's basically lingerie.
Yeah, well, the whole thing about it is, with this creative team, it seems like they are trying to do... The violence is still there because she's Harley Quinn.
But even that's toned down. It's
yeah,
more
it's
more common.
So I think the creative team will tone this down a little bit. Not totally, But it's hard to tell right now because we're expecting a little more out of the Harley Quinn team of what they're going to do. But on the other hand, we're looking at this cover of this costume and we're saying, this costume really toned down. So it's really up for grabs. I think it'll do well when it starts because I think people are going to be curious about what it is and what they've done.
And the last book, which is another one that I'm really excited for, We Are Robin.
Yeah, with Lieber Mayho and Kerry Randolph.
I'll pick it up. Yeah. It's a Batman book.
Yeah, and it basically from the just a cover image, and this is just from that, but it looks like a street group that are all being Robins.
Yeah.
To deal with, you know, local problems, I'm guessing.
And it looks like the one kid is the one from Future's End that becomes Robin.
Okay,
I forgot what his name was. So it looks like it's him and, you know, maybe, you know, that's his initiation to becoming Robin. He starts there and then Batman takes him under the wing.
And not all of these miniseries, this one, I don't know if they said it's not a miniseries.
No, this one's not supposed to be a mini.
Yeah. The whole thing about it is none of this, being that they're eliminating the title New 52 to all these books, doesn't necessarily mean that this could be an Elseworld type deal.
Well,
it's always possible that they could do something that, you know, they could be telling us a story of Batman is out of the picture right now and somebody needs to rise up to stop everything so a street gang does it. And they've done this before, a street gang idea with Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
With a Batman. So that might be where they're getting a little bit of their inspiration from, maybe. But it doesn't necessarily have to tie into continuity. And they said that when they've restarted these books.
Yeah.
They said that they're wanting to tell a good story, not necessarily go from continuity.
That, or if we're going to see Robin, like Damian, out on his own, not being a sidekick, being his own you know, hero, I could see him developing more of a, you know, following.
Yeah.
If he's not in the shadows as much as Batman, but he's more, you know, in your face prominent.
Speaking of Damian, we've talked about the book. Anywhere on that cover or the picture of that book remind you of him flying around or having superpowers?
I can't recall that.
I don't remember
anything like that on there. So I have a feeling that probably.
But they didn't have. They didn't have concept art for all of them, though.
Yeah,
yeah, that's true. I just didn't see anything that like was straight out like he was flying, lifting cars. Something like
they're trying to keep it.
Well, I don't think that's gonna last. I think that's a very temporary thing. Where
I don't think it will last. But
adrenaline,
I think,
and it was like adrenaline.
I think it'll be in the beginning of this book.
Possibly.
Like, because the way the Batman Robin book ended, I could see, or the last issue ended, I could see that being the catalyst for them going kind of separate ways.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Tomasi's run on this book is going to end with his powers fading away.
Mm.
And I think basically
he only has one issue left to do it.
Well, that's true.
Two. Sorry.
His book has been about him coming back from the dead and like fixing things that he needs to fix. And it seems like some
Once
of this stuff
done.
Might be the only things that he can fix with his superpowers, and he's using that to fix it. Once he fixes what he does, I think that's when it's kind
of going
to
wear off.
It's going to wear off. And then it's going to start fresh. So, yeah, they have only two issues to do.
Yeah.
That book, Batman and Robin, has been a good book.
It's been a really good book, yeah.
It's going to be a shame that creative team is leaving.
It was a bit rocky whenever Damian was dead and they did the team-ups.
The team-ups.
Yeah, the only
some
one...
Worked
but
better than
some
others.
Of them were good, but I hated the Two-Face book. That was like one of the... And I've talked about that before, so I won't talk about it too
I stuck
much,
through to the end of that one, then
bad.
I dropped off the rest of the team-ups until they
started got
with
back
Robin.
To
Aquaman was good. I think Aquaman was the one when they put the mutant Damian.
I did the same thing. I dropped off.
I don't remember
when.
I thought that was
back
before.
Up at Robin Rises.
I couldn't remember.
The one book that didn't...
Me too, sorry.
The one book,
I made hand signals.
I thought you were like, I'm watching you.
No.
That's what you were doing.
No,
I
said
like,
on the nose. It's nose, when you touch the nose.
It's fictional.
That's I'm watching you.
Crap, I forgot the game that they used that.
You completely psyched him out. You forgot what you were talking about.
I know, I messed him up.
The one character that we haven't seen on the list I'm a little surprised of is Shazam.
I know! Yeah. Where is the Shazam book at? Like, we had all these backups.
You're scaring us, John.
Well, because we had
John's
all backups
were really good. The new 52.
I would have laughed and fell over.
I know. The new 52 origin of them I thought was really good. In their animated movies, they're using him as part of the Justice League. There's a Shazam movie.
He's been
live action.
Future Gen.
Yeah, so why would you not have a Shazam book?
Like, of
somewhere?
All the characters that you're going to say, all right, let's give a new book to you, why not him?
Yeah.
And where the X-Men
book?
Well, yeah, Colin, right?
Well, but that's they
I
only
will
have,
be bringing that up.
They only have 48 books, so there's still room
49.
For
49. Well, then, but then three.
Well, but
I want a weekly.
They go away.
Who would you like to see on that
new
Batman book?
You want a new weekly?
Mm-hmm. Well,
Batman three new weeklies.
Batman Eternal is gonna is going to come back at some point.
Who would you like to see on said?
But like
Metal
I said,
Kevin Maguire,
the Metal Man.
He did the backup.
No, Gold, they're going to be in it.
Lead,
I know that.
Iron
creative team.
Oh, okay. Mercury.
I mean, you like Geoff Johns. Tim. You didn't mind when Geoff Johns introduced the character, did you?
No, Johns did well
on
that.
And he's
Ivan Reis
what?
Killed
nothing?
It on the art.
He's
what?
Still,
what?
He's still in Justice League, but there are more announcements coming because whenever he announced he was leaving Superman, he said that there was another project that
he's working
on.
Because they
want to
have 75 books, so New 52 would have been too constraining.
What's that?
That makes New 75?
Well,
I haven't had a Superman book that I've liked.
But we're at 49.
That was
50 with Batman Eternal. Yeah, all three weeklies have outsold every Marvel book for me other than Spider-Man and Thor. So getting that every week and three of them
you
every
each
week.
Each issue has outsold?
Each issue
okay,
has outsold every,
collective
no, each,
month.
Each
really,
individual
even
issue.
World's End?
Yes.
That's surprising.
Yeah, has
yeah.
outsold every Marvel book for me except for Spider-Man and Thor. So
Batman's
to get those three of those weekly,
Batman's
I will take
not a surprise.
It.
Future's End.
Kinda, just because
Future's
it was a slow
End did not
store.
Drop.
But
that's
World's,
the amazing
but
thing.
But World's End, I would have.
That was kind of a niche thought. Audience because people
yeah.
that weren't reading Earth
they,
2.
They sell equal. Future's End and World's End for me sell equal.
Huh.
I wonder if a lot of people thought since they're reading Future's End they had to read World's End too.
I don't know. Well, to be honest, it's also selling at the same level as Earth 2 had been selling. So everybody that was reading Earth 2 is reading World's End.
I don't know that was doing so well.
So yeah. So yeah, I want. World's I don't want those going. I mean, they're going to end, but. And hopefully volume 2 will do as well.
Yeah.
You never know. You can never catch lightning in a bottle again. But they've done very well for me. I like the idea of the weekly, you know, people coming in every week to get their, you know, the next installment. Or, you know, let's say
like
they miss
the idea of all these weeklies.
They miss 3 weeks. All of a sudden they come in. They got six books.
Yeah.
My wallet likes the idea of trying out all these other new books.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that they mentioned was that I think they said half of these are going to be $2.99.
Yeah, and right. then half are going to be $3.99.
Right, and one of the and they also made the comment that they saw no reason to raise the price just to raise the price, which was totally a dig. And they also mentioned that because the price of paper hasn't gone up and they have their creative costs controlled.
Right.
So it was just a nice little dig at Marvel, who now only has one $2.99 book.
Yeah, what's $2.99?
Ms. Marvel.
That's their only.
Is
one?
The only $2.99.
Squirrel Girl
book.
Is a $4 book.
Yep.
What?
So that was just a nice little. Dig.
Yeah.
But they can't just make weekly. Like,
well, look at
like,
Darth Vader and Star Wars 1 were both $5 books.
They
for
can't,
no reason.
They can't just bring out a book like Marvel is with
mm-hmm.
their weekly books where they're just bringing out like random
Wolverines
things.
Wolverines is not
it's,
doing
yeah,
half as well.
That's
so.
Because they're not thinking out what should we bring out as a weekly book where these are actually Batman is a weekly book and this is their main event book and World's End people like Earth 2. They're thinking out who, where they're selling it to. So they can't just bring out if they end these, they can't just bring out a random character and expect it to work. It has
yeah.
to also
Shazam
work.
Shazam weekly. Would you be on board?
A weekly? Just
I don't know
Shazam?
About a weekly Shazam,
no. And it would have to be in more depth of a character. I mean, Batman would
well,
work as a weekly.
Well, stuff. Or something where you could focus character. On other things, like you know, a Justice League book would work as a weekly book because there's so many different directions you can go with it. Green Lantern works as a weekly book because you have so many different members of the core.
See,
have
I don't
go out in other
I
places.
Think I would lose interest in a weekly if it was just normal arcs. Like I think the weekly works when it's this big epic story
yeah.
that they have to tell.
But,
and
you can still
wait.
Do that. But I mean,
and there's an
those,
end in sight.
Yeah.
Those are the type of books that would work. Not just a Shazam book where you're focused on, because even in the Batman Eternal, you're not just focused on what Batman's doing for the year.
Yeah.
You have, you know, Tim Drake is off fighting Nano.
Yeah,
and
but
you got,
those are all pieces to this bigger
right,
thing. And
that, right,
and
that
works. But if it was just like a standard, you know, 4 to 6 issue arc.
It has to be a big story.
I agree.
They have to be telling a big story
yeah.
for this to work. It has to be very, you know, it has to be a very
a Morrison
depthy
weekly.
Story.
Oh
about
my
a Booster
God.
Gold weekly.
I don't think
I'd read a Multiversity weekly.
I don't know. Booster Gold.
Oh man, I
travel through the time.
There's still so much more I want.
All different characters. I was surprised
can't
there wasn't
a Booster
Gold.
We only have a couple issues to go.
It, I think if they did a weekly,
yeah,
it would have to be
kind of surprising.
It'd have to be one of the big three. it would have to be a really in-depth mystery type story, or it has to have tons of stuff in order that they're trying to tell.
That last one.
Because if you think, could really Batman Eternal have lasted as long as it did?
Oh, yeah.
That way? As a non-weekly? I don't know. That would be a very long book.
Oh, yeah. It's...
Yeah.
So, in order, they just have to think out what they're going to use for what kind of character. They, you can't just bring out a weekly.
There were things, there were parts of it. Look at Batman Eternal. There were issues that didn't need to exist.
Yeah.
And some things were drawn out.
Some of the stuff with the Spectre, some of that drug out, some of the nanobot stuff.
Well, I think
stuff
part of the problem is they hit their beats. Like, they want, okay, by issue 10, we need to be this far. So, all of a sudden, by issue 6, they're almost there. Oh, okay, we got to pad a little.
Yeah. No, and that's true, too. So that's what your DC universe is going to look like.
Well, that's the new stuff. No,
there are a lot of creative changes for the ongoing things.
Like Cullen Bunn and Trevor McCarthy taking over Aquaman.
Which that surprised me. Jeff Parker was on then just for one arc, I guess?
He's been on for a little while. Didn't Jeff Johns left that like
issue 20? He was on before that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's all been leading up to this Maelstrom.
Okay, but I'm just saying it's been Parker since.
Yeah, it's been, what, 20 issues?
Yeah. Let's see. Batgirl's not changing. Batman's not changing. Detective's not changing. Batman, Superman not changing. Catwoman, new writer Genevieve Valentine. I don't think she's doing it now.
I think she is.
Is she?
I think she is.
Okay.
Yeah, that was
really awkward. The Flash is
change on Flash. Oh no, not change on Flash. Never mind.
Gotham, not a crappy artist, but what a Gotham might be a
new artist. But that's Juan Ferreira from Colder, so that should be sufficiently creepy.
Yeah, from Colder, and isn't he? He's doing some covers right now for Constantine, I think, as well. But it's still, I mean, it's going to be a big change from Temple Smith.
Green Arrow is having another change, which is interesting. Now, they just had the
This arc.
This change is not
Seattle.
What's that?
Yes. Is he in Seattle on that book? Still?
Krinsberg has not, from what I understand, been great on that book though.
Okay.
But this writer, Ben Percy. He's actually the guy that did those two detective issues, where the Terminal.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
So that was pretty good. Makes me pretty confident for Green Arrow. Now this book, I've heard that this book and some of the other books that are on the ongoing list here may actually be relaunching as well. That they're going to get
new number ones.
Like Green Arrow might get one issue with this team on it, and then. That's like a primer to a new number one.
Oh, okay.
It's going to come out in July.
Okay.
But nothing's been officially said. It's just been rumors.
Okay. So. Yeah. And the only other big change was Gene Luen Yang on Superman, which is interesting because he's one of those indie guys. So it'll be interesting. For me, I like seeing new people on Superman because it's so often it's a character that people don't know how to write. Because, you know, when you have a character that's all-powerful,
yeah.
But it's so how do you write soon, it? Though. I mean... John's
is off, and then Romita's doing this next arc.
And Romita's staying on with this guy.
Yeah, it's just nice to get some fresh, who hasn't written superheroes.
Yeah, I wish John's was staying on a little bit longer than eight issues.
It did seem kind of odd that they jumped him off that quick, but their main reason for putting him on was just the good people.
And the fact with everything moving out west, he might get more involved with the TV side or the movie side. So.
Yeah.
That wasn't a big surprise, John's but it was just, I thought that was a very interesting choice of a writer, you know, somebody who doesn't have, superheroes under his belt.
He's definitely going to California.
He lives in California.
Yeah. Oh, he lives there.
Yeah, he's always lived there,
I think this guy wrote some of the, Nickelodeon books.
Okay. I know he did American Born Chinese.
Yeah.
He did another book that Matt Todd just bought today. I forget what it was. But
tell us what he bought.
I don't remember.
Everything.
No, it was a book. Shadow something, I think. Yeah, Shadow was in the title.
And then Justice League United, Jeff Lemire is off that.
Yeah.
They haven't announced who's going to be on it yet.
Yeah, so he's not doing any books.
That seems odd, too, because he wanted
the. Well,
like,
maybe. He's got Descender coming for
Minutes.
He
didn't renew his contract with DC. He had Descender. He's writing. He's drawing a book that Scott Snyder's writing.
Okay.
He's writing Bloodshot Reborn for Valiant.
Yeah, he's got a lot going on Valiant. So maybe he's just taking a break from DC, or maybe he's leaving DC. You hope it wasn't
bad.
Yeah.
But everything he has coming out...
It's always bad.
Everything's been well received that he's done.
I mean, everything looks... The previous writing look great. Like, Descender looks great. Him and Dustin Nguyen and Bloodshot Reborn looks great. So, just a shame, because I liked him on DC books as well. Yeah.
Okay.
And
they might change that team.
Fortunately,
Wonder Woman is not changing.
Thank God the Wonder Woman team is intact. For those of you that are concerned and worried, the Rockstar team of Meredith and David Finch are not going anywhere.
It was not a vegetative injustice.
They're waiting for a new number one to jump on that.
Did that hurt the say? Okay.
Well, I heard someone else say, like, of all the like books that needed a creative team change, why didn't DC take the opportunity to do it with this one?
Oh, and it pained
me to say, like, it's only three issues. They would be real dicks if they said, you're off this book already, and put someone else on, as much as I hate them. And I will not be giving them any more money, but DC couldn't have done it that fast. But I hope in the summer they kick them to the curb.
And some once they hit issue book. Six, have they get an arc behind them.
No, I don't want to be mean.
Be like, we hate
Adam's the only
Josh. Don't be an internet you. Tough guy.
They're like, we hate Josh.
Well, she got past me.
So the other thing I got, this was just kind of
news you want to talk about, Pat? Jeez.
This is my show now. You just be quiet. Batgirl.
Power hungry all of a sudden.
Yep. So the trade and the hardcover are going to be released the same day.
What?
Supposedly, which is weird because we've already ordered the hardcover, but we haven't ordered the trade.
Here's the other thing. They're going to be renumbered to volume one.
Which makes sense, which is what they should have done with the book.
Well, and then I was reading something about that, and he said there was internal issues why it didn't do that, and it sounds like this is probably why. Okay,
but I don't have a huge problem with that because it was such a huge departure.
Yeah.
It really doesn't continue on from the previous volume.
I guess. I don't know. I like the idea.
Yeah,
of the,
no, I do too. Yeah.
Because the continuity's still there. The story, it's different in the look and feel, but the same.
I think they have a better chance of selling more number ones, which I know is something Marvel does and something I've rallied against. It was funny because I was on my Comics Pro forum. We were talking about it, and a lot of people wanted them to do renumbering at number ones, and a couple of us were like, no. No, we like the continuity. We like the people, especially with the trades. I like somebody coming in going, oh, I heard about this Green Arrow, and it's volume four. And they get that, and they go, okay, I really like this. And they can go back and get caught up. And it's not confusing.
And then they see who wrote it, so then you don't do it.
Well, no, but you could, you know, you try to figure out, you know, the Marvel trades and going back. And Wolverine, every year we get a volume one and a volume two. And if you get them in the wrong order or the wrong ones, they don't match up. It's got the exact same trade dress. Where I said I want to have 10 volumes of Batman for somebody to come in and go bing, 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 1 through 10. I said, just like Walking Dead.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have to talk to them each time and explain which one's which and stuff. They can just come in and just roll right along.
Yeah.
I like that. But I understand this new number one for this Batgirl because you're trying to push it here. You don't necessarily need to push the early ones. Because it is such a change, character, look, feel, everything. So I don't have a problem with that one.
So they should have done it with Wonder Woman, too, because it went from
That wouldn't be a bad thing, yeah. Because it doesn't really follow five after four in that case, or whatever, however many trades that first one went.
It's not that it's bad compared to Azzarello.
You just hate
it's
it. You're a hater?
It's just bad. They're a bad creative team. His art is horrible for the book.
I like how they're a bad creative team, you know, since they're already a team.
And her writing is not great. Sorry.
Okay.
That's the end of the list. Pens are up 3-0.
Yep.
So that's all the news.
That's all the news? That's all you got?
Hey.
All that stuff? Is that the best you
can
do?
Again.
That was only what? Yeah.
That is news. Breaking.
It's on the picture.
Yeah, she does have fishnets again.
I like that cover. I saw that the other day.
Okay.
So, moving on.
That's a podcast. Oh.
Not done yet.
That's up to you.
I'm ready to nap. No. Okay. Last week's books. I'll go first since I complained that by the time I get to it, I'm half asleep.
All you had to say was, I complain, and we got it.
Look at this.
Adam took notes.
I have notes.
Look at you. Yeah, in your head.
Yeah, and I talk about the same thing.
Yeah, and they go, la, 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 la.
This is yours.
It's Fear Itself sucked, and...
Speaking of Fear Itself...
Oh, Jesus.
I'm reading the new Thor, and a character from Fear Itself pops up, and I'm just like, really?
Is it the serpent?
They want to bring this character back? So that was a little surprising. Okay,
so what'd you read?
Nameless, number one. Grant Morrison, Chris Burnham. Really good. If you like Morrison, it had the right look, especially in the Batman Eternal, or not Batman Eternal, Batman in Ink and stuff. I don't believe anybody else read it.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I can't summarize that. I can't begin to explain what happened in that book. Guys going into dreams to steal a key, and it's Morrison. You just roll with it. You read the words. You look at the pictures, and
it was really good. I like the art. The story, you know, kept me engaged all the time.
Oh yeah.
There's this meteor coming to Earth, and on the meteor, there's this symbol on a mountain on the meteor or on the side of the meteor.
It's like an ancient symbol to something else.
Yeah, and there's this, you know, ominous, you know, corporation, or is it a corporation or just a guy? And
yeah, who's living on the moon?
And they have like this base on the moon that they're going to use as a.
And they want this guy.
Essentially,
to do something
it's a Grant Morrison version of the movie Armageddon. They're going to go and try and get rid of this asteroid that's coming towards Earth.
Yeah,
with more twists and turns.
That doesn't quite.
What's the point? You know?
They could probably get Ben Affleck though.
I don't know. He's Batman.
He's Batman now.
Well, like DC.
Before Batman,
Morse has good ties to DC, so. But it was good. It was really good. I don't think I'll buy two only because I think I'm going to wait for the trade
because
it's going to read much better as a trade. Not saying people shouldn't come by the single issues.
Thanks.
You just made me
don't buy the
confused.
Books. Colin already ordered them. Who cares?
But I mean,
that sounds like Colin.
All right,
Morrison. It's like Hickman. It just reads better in a trade.
All right, you drank
trade
all mine,
but it was very good. It was very enjoyable.
It's like, oh, great.
But yeah, this is another case where I read this 11 days ago.
Yeah.
Just remember, it was like, this is really cool, but what?
Like, I had to flip back to previous pages a few times and reread a couple of things.
Well, I was reading a digital copy, which is always fun when you get a PDF, but when you get the two-page spreads and you're having to scroll up and down, trying to figure out how it works. Yeah. Some things don't work. Black Vortex.
Whoa.
No.
Mr. Knife.
No,
but Mr. Knife, yes. God. Were you here when I was playing that clip? Yeah.
I was trying to read Imperium and you started playing this clip and made us watch
Mr. Knife. This must have been before
we thought Dave was being tortured, but it was really us.
Just Marvel had a little video, so I was playing it on the
I'm surprised
TV.
They didn't save that for the view.
Yeah, but
Black featured Gamora prominently.
Yeah, Black Vortex is basically Jason of Spartax. Star-Lord's dad is going under the name Mr. Knife, and he's trying to get this, is it called the Black Vortex? But it's like a mirror.
It's a mirror.
That when you look into it, it makes you the ultimate you or something. It gives you powers.
Wasn't that the plot of the first Harry Potter movie?
Kinda.
That was actually a mirror.
Look, Jason Spartax is head boy.
But so it's giving new costumes and new powers to some characters you're kind of familiar with. A couple outer space guys. Just names I knew, but it didn't really click or anything. And they have to go and try to stop this. And, you know, they steal it. And then the X-Men show up. And so you have, you know, Magic and all those guys.
Magic's dead.
No.
Yes.
Well, she's in this book.
No, I read All New X-Men X-Men, and she was.
Well, I'm
dead.
Sure it'll make sense then. But yeah, I mean, it was okay. It wasn't. Yeah. Being that I'm not reading either book, it didn't really. You know, I didn't jump
kind
right
like
in.
Most of the people
I didn't jump right into reading Guardians of the Galaxy today to see how it was continuing. Although Howard the Duck was on the cover, which was very confusing.
He asked Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie,
sure.
Thus Marvel had the button.
Okay. Imperium is basically spinning out of Harbinger.
Yeah.
And a character from Harbinger, Josh was explaining to me. So I was a little bit lost going in.
It jumps around a little bit.
Yeah, and there's some time. Like, it starts in the future and then goes to the past.
Yeah, so it's in the future, and there's this character from Harbinger.
Named Mr. Knife.
Better shut your mouth.
But he's talking about Shaft.
He's a bad.
So there's a character from Harbinger, and it's in the future, and it's like this utopian future, very futuristic.
futuristic in the future.
And as he's going through, it looks like he's moving on to do something else, and he's going through and interacting with different people in this futuristic world and recounting whenever he was, you know, his mother when he was first born. And you're thinking that, I don't want to give anything away because it's the first issue, but it does a lot of skipping back and forth between this very futuristic world and this our past to the initial, like, Psyots, the initial, you know, Harbingers, and talking about how, you know, he helped Toyo Harada, the, you know, main protagonist from Harbinger, you know, create this world, and they had to do some things that weren't, you know, always looked upon favorably to create this utopia they have now, but it was all for the greater good. And then it finally flashes back to present day, and you see, you know, Harada leading this team of Psyots on some, you know, mission that's going to, you know, have some major negative impact. And you find out that the future that you saw wasn't really a future, but it was a shared vision that Harada was, you know, showing all these people and telling them that this is their future. He's showing them the future, but really it's, you know, him lying to them. And he knows.
Okay, I didn't get that at all. Okay.
Yeah. So there's a character, you may have, it was in a couple panels, the Bleeding Monk.
Yeah.
So the Bleeding Monk is this ancient Psyot, and he's kind of been the mentor for Harada and this other, you know, major character in the Harbinger series, Peter. So Harada essentially tells, or Bleeding Monk tells Harada that his time has come and gone, that he is not going to lead, you know, the people to greatness, that he's not going to, you know, lead them to this utopia, that he's going to lead them to, you know, failure. And Harada lies to the, you know, the Psyots that are following him and tells them that the Bleeding Monk said that what they're doing is going to lead them to this utopia, and shares this vision with them to try and get them on board with him.
Okay.
So you then see this big, you know, initial battle he's leading them on. So it's a really interesting setup, and, you know, he's certainly the villain, but he has these people following him that think that they're, you know, the good guys, which, I mean, that's mm-hmm. how you want your villain to be, not just crazy, but to think they're doing the right thing. So I'm interested to see where number two goes, but I think it was a really strong start for the book.
Okay. Postal number one was from Image. Interesting. I listened to another review of it, and it was quite funny because he's like, I don't normally do this, but he read the solicit to it, and it basically says there's this town where, like, witness protection people get put, and it's a town full of criminals, and this one criminal is the mayor, no one can commit a crime there because they don't want to bring any attention on themselves. So
they go somewhere else to commit crimes?
Well, no, but it's just a town where if you do commit a crime, it's dealt with very, very severely.
Mm.
And her, like, Asperger son is the mailman, and everything is shown through his eyes, so it's a little bit weird. Like, he can only eat right at noon, and when the waitress is really nice to him, but she'll often have to say, no, you shouldn't say that, because he just says whatever he's thinking, and things like that. And then it ends...
My wife does the same thing to me.
Yeah. But then it ends with, somebody's mail accidentally got open, so his mom told him that he should type it out, you know, exactly what it said or something, and it turns out that it was, the guy was getting, like, Sudafed, big shipment of Sudafed to make drugs and stuff, so they deal with it.
Maybe he just has a bad sinus problem.
Yeah. And, but he wanted to do something nice for him, since the guy was really mean to him. And it was just, but the idea behind it, this town where nothing bad can happen, all this stuff, wasn't portrayed in the book at all. You didn't get any of that. And then at the very last page, there's a dead body, which, had they explained the city and why that's such a bad thing, you'd say, wow, that's really, a dead body. They don't need that kind of heat. But the book did not convey anything that the solicit did. The solicit was more of a solicit for the whole series and the idea behind the series, but none of it was conveyed in that first issue. And basically it was just about this really weird guy who's a mailman. And then at the end, there's a dead body. And it was interesting. And it sounds more interesting after hearing the solicit, but the actual issue itself was kind of...
So are you saying that they should stick to it mainly because it's...
It sounds like it's going to get better. It's going to get better after issue one, but issue one did not do a good job of selling the story.
To begin with.
Next, Saga 25, just basically kind of continuing, which was good. It's just they're split up. The husband is now off. I don't even remember what he's doing. Is he with the... Well, the... Yeah, they... The... yeah, I'm not even going to try to explain it. But if you've been reading it, it's still good. It's complicated. But it's good. It's very good. But it was very funny because I had a high school librarian in wondering, you know, would this be a book appropriate for high school? And I'm like, no. And in that book alone, there was some nudity. Yeah, I'm like, no. Bad. So, Star Wars 2. Really? Yeah.
Very underwhelmed.
You know, I was underwhelmed in the sense 1 and 2 didn't give me the boom, exciting story that I wanted. And Josh is very upset and he's leaving.
I didn't pick
We're
up.
We're not talking three. About
okay.
Wonder
Woman. My second problem with it is it used two phrases that made me, not I don't want to say mad, but this is obviously...
Live long and prosper?
No. That would have been awesome. Because that's right out of the show. But, so you, presumably this is being written for fans of the movie. So you, most people reading this have seen Star Wars. So
it, I think it, most people on the planet have seen it.
Right, but I'm just saying it specifically include the line of C-3PO asking some aliens if they speak bocce, which... was said right in the movie, and when
she just said, "Do you play bocce?"
True. And then when at one point Luke sees a speeder and goes, "I can hit a womp rat from however many."
It just seems like a greatest hits.
Yeah,
thing
yeah.
That was my base
of lines from the movies and just a rehash of stuff.
Yeah.
And
it just hasn't. Now, Darth Vader that came out today was much much better, and that's by Kieran Gillen, a different writer. And it didn't feel at all like the movie. It was a very different Darth Vader or a very different look at Darth Vader. Because in all honesty, in Star Wars, you didn't know a lot about Darth Vader. Man. He was like the hitman for Grand Moff Tarkin. That was what he came across.
Yeah, his role changed throughout the movie.
Yeah, so this was a very different Darth Vader. And I think this was good. But the Star Wars book, it's like, you've got to do something here. You're not... Han Solo could not get an AT-AT to walk across... And not make it fall down, or, you know, it can't just step on a building, it's going to lose balance.
Han has a line like, oh, Chewie would love this.
Yeah.
He would never say that. Yeah.
Well, and that's the whole thing. My biggest complaint for this whole series has been, it's basically them saying, you know, trying to get fans to say, hey, I saw that in the movie. Because that's basically what it was. Bocce.
That's what Marvel does with all their comics anyway.
And then, as you were saying, with the Chewbacca thing, they're just playing up the fact that he used the walker. It's not the same type of walker. Because we talked about that last week. It's not the same type of walker. But
what were the Jawas doing in the AT-AT?
Yeah, that too.
I mean, that's a little thing with that.
It just, the whole thing. But the whole thing is, like, the meeting shouldn't have happened. I've said that from the first issue. The meeting of him and Darth Vader shouldn't really have happened.
No.
Because they kind of did.
Well, they played that up in the Darth Vader book, so.
And then, I don't know, what's happened? And then the arguing, and I get it. They are, and that's another thing that goes back that, yeah, we see it in the movie, thus it had to be overkill in this book. The arguing between Leia and Han just went on forever. Yeah, yeah. I mean, for pages, it was just them bickering back and forth, and I was just like, is there a story to this? Like, what are they doing there?
Star Wars is variations on a theme.
Yeah.
You know, in the movies, on, you know, variations on the Master and the Apprentice and all that kind of stuff. But it just seems like it was just thrown together.
It was thrown together quickly because they had this book and they just assumed straight out, well, it's Star Wars, thus people are going to buy it.
Yeah.
We're going to market it so people will buy it.
But it just wasn't...
It should
attempt to be kind of fresh.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's
variations on
truthfully, it's been a real disappointment. It really has. Because I was wanting something out of this because I was just like, they're playing it up. It's Star Wars. I like Star Wars. I want to see something.
I was excited. Then I got a sinking feeling, and I turned the page. I got another sinking feeling.
Yeah. And it's just, you know.
I got a bad feeling about this.
I had a bad feeling about this.
And
as I keep reading it, I
dislike the art more and more. I just, the art just isn't working for me.
It's a shame because the creative team is a good creative team.
Yeah, I know.
And I was, that's another thing I was surprised for.
It's Jason Aaron, isn't it Cassidy?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it just, I don't know.
I don't mind the art. I thought it was pretty.
It depends on where it is, but
I didn't love the faces in the first one.
Yeah. But no, I'm really just that book. They better do something quick because it might have welcomed it home, but it won't be here for long.
But you know what?
It's gonna run away.
It's gonna leave.
Like other podcasts I listen to and review sites. People seem to love it.
That's
my
complaint. My biggest complaint with Marvel right now isn't with Marvel. It's with everybody else who basically so easily swayed to read books now just because they pop Marvel's logo on it, and thus it's good. That's not what I'm looking for, quality, not just because
they can overmarket. I love Star Wars more than.
And now they got two things that they can put on the cover: Marvel, Star Wars, and thus they think just that is going to sell the book.
Yeah.
And people are just they're just wanting to buy it just because they think. It's going to be a collector's item. It's going to be, this is the big, because it was marketed that way, and I guess people were just easily swayed for that, and I just don't get it. So.
Not a thumbs up. Okay. Superman 38.
I don't think we sold it.
Finish of the first story arc, introduction of his new powers.
He went Super Saiyan.
I think they explained his powers pretty well.
It made sense. It's not like suddenly he has telepathy or anything like that.
I liked how they balanced out this insanely strong power with him being very vulnerable afterwards. Yeah. Not him just being able to...
Because he loses it all after.
Yeah.
Which confused me. At the end of the book, that was the biggest surprise, which is a spoiler if anybody cares about that. But at the end of the book, he tells Jimmy who he is.
That's the only thing I didn't like.
And it wasn't so much that I didn't like him introducing him. I was like, okay, maybe he has somebody to talk to, whatever.
Yeah.
It was the fact that they just told us his superpowers were gone, and he transformed into Superman.
Well, there may have been a bit more of a delay in there.
Hang on a sec.
That he was just like, hold on a minute. Stay turned around. And he was just like...
You don't know how long he was...
With pant belt.
You don't know how long he was in the Batcave.
Where do I put all this stuff?
Well, the next issue is supposed to be like his a day as a human.
It was supposed to be his...
Yeah, I see what you're saying, though. Yeah.
Maybe Jimmy...
It's about time you saw what I was
saying. Maybe Jimmy Olsen thought he was... asked him to fly, and he can't fly.
Yeah, so he's like, not fly.
You're not Superman.
He jumps out a window.
I can only get my clothes changed really fast, Jimmy.
Stay turned around. I'm going to put them in the cupboard. Yeah.
See how fast you can get yours off. Oh, sorry.
We weren't going there, Colin.
Wow.
Colin's talking to somebody named Jimmy in here. We're talking about Jimmy Olsen.
You like Sandy, don't be alarmed.
Not the little Jimmy.
She's listening. God, this would be... I can say anything I want.
To the pedo van.
I did like...
Maybe she does listen to this because she thinks you can say whatever you want.
Oh,
yeah.
That's how she gets you.
No, she'd drive into a wall if she was listening to this.
She pays somebody to listen
to her. Don't total another car.
Yeah, I didn't. I had nothing...
That's what happened.
I wasn't anywhere near the car.
I think it's to hit people out for Pittsburgh Comics podcasters. I really do. Me, him.
We better watch out.
Be careful. Yeah, you guys are in danger. Next.
Dave was missing
last
week.
But he wasn't in the car.
Yeah.
They don't care. They went after your wife.
That car has the license plate. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did like, in that issue, the scenes with Clark and Batman.
Yeah.
Where it was very apparent, like, Batman's kind of like studying him and examining this whole new thing.
I've never seen Romita draw Batman before. That was different.
His first, yeah.
And I didn't think it was bad because it says exactly what I've always said about Romita. He draws very good full costume people, but not when they're out of costume and you have to draw like people.
Yeah,
that's and kids. He can't draw kids worth anything, except for Jimmy Olsen, but he's not a kid.
Jimmy Olsen's poor now. All his money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't bring up Jimmy Olsen anymore. I don't want to get back.
Calm down there, Colin. Calm down.
What you said. That's
get
all.
Your clothes on, Jimmy. That's what it sounded like.
I got some candy for you.
Apple's going to be listening to this. You're going to be like, what is happening at this comic book store?
Jimmy, do you like Gladiator movies?
Moving on.
Have you ever been to a Turkish prison?
Colin, why do you do this podcast?
Aren't you glad you went first?
I am. I finally got caught up on Batman Eternal and Future's End. I really liked the end of the last Future's End.
Yeah.
The last Future's End book was awesome. Yeah. That really kicked things into high gear.
Yeah.
Well, it's finally got to the point where they're just like, we're getting to something.
Yeah.
We're going to explain things now.
Hey, we have like 4 issues left. Hurry up.
Yeah.
What happened to the Joker in that situation, though?
That, it's not resolved.
It got
Batman
shocked.
Batman was like off somewhere else, wasn't he, in this issue? I could have sworn I saw him in this issue, and then they weren't dealing with that situation.
Well, they zapped him or whatever.
Yeah, because he was giving Tim Drake a hard time.
Yeah.
In this issue.
Yeah, I didn't remember. I don't know.
Yeah, the whole Justice League in this one.
And the whole idea of Brainiac.
Yeah, that was interesting seeing the other characters that we hadn't seen before.
You got T-shirt, jeans, Superman back.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Bearded.
He had to. Mm-hmm. That's all he had.
Yeah.
He put his clothes away.
Took it out of the closet.
Him and Jimmy were up to something.
Jimmy still has my clothes.
Damn you, Olsen. And then Batman Eternal, basically Bluebird getting into action that we kind of knew was coming since 38, or since Batman.
I'll wait.
Not 38, Batman. 28.
Yeah.
This was an okay issue of Eternal. Yeah. I didn't like the previous issue of Eternal kind of ended with Bluebird and Spoiler,
they were
bonding a little bit.
But then they were fighting it out a little bit.
Yeah.
This issue, they're at each other's throats, and it's because Spoiler, thinks that Bruce Wayne is behind all this.
Right.
Which he could be, I guess.
Bluebird, knows that he's not, or thinks he's not.
Who out there at DC looks like Batman? Looks like Bruce Wayne, I mean.
His Hush. Brother, you mean?
It's Hush.
Oh, Hush.
So, it could be either Hush was behind that part of it, of what she saw was Hush.
But we know that
Hush was hunting her.
Well, and Hush was dealing with Clue Master, her father, the whole time.
But he during that meeting, he could have been that could have been Hush. Or it's exactly what you just said, and it's what I've been saying, is that it's Lincoln March.
Yeah.
And he could have a similarity to him, and she saw him in a dark basement, and we didn't even see him very good. So I don't know. That's why I like this book so much. Were you expecting me to know something?
No.
He was like, he doesn't know.
No. Blackhawks, it was in 3-1.
I wanted to mention something real quick about Future's End. The Brainiac thing is a little bit confusing, because according to Future's End, it's a Brainiac that we don't...
It's the
Brainiac, and it's not the Brainiac that we know.
The Brainiac we know is a minion of the Brainiac.
Exactly.
He's an Ultron bot.
Kind of is making the idea of convergence.
No, he's got no strings to hold him down.
Because convergence deals with Brainiac. See, there's a lot of Brainiac usage right now, and I'm not sure why. A lot of Brainiac usage, a lot of Darkseid.
Brainiac and Darkseid have been the big threats since New 52 started. Yeah.
And that's what is a little confusing to me, but it's don't overthink it, because we don't know what's happening with convergence.
Well, I think you're overthinking it.
I think I am too, in a way, because
Brainiac knows what Darkseid's about to do, so he's taking it before Darkseid does his thing and destroys the world.
And that's it could be.
Did he have a piece of Earth too?
What?
Brainiac.
It should be a different.
Well, that's what John's working on.
Should be a different Brainiac.
He's working on
Darkseid War.
Yeah, Darkseid.
There should be only one. There should be a multiple Brainiacs to each universe, because he's not a universal being. Like, he's not a dimension.
Or is he?
Or at least we don't. Okay, yeah, that's true. Because we don't know about this new Brainiac, but somewhere they need to tie it together, because we need to understand who Brainiac is. Which one's Brainiac? Is he a threat, in convergence?
Why don't they just get Will Smith and Jeff Goldblum to go up there and upload a virus to him? And
why,
through a dial-up modem.
You know how many situations that could work in? Terrorism, all sorts of things. We could deal with everything with Jeff Goldblum. Dinosaurs?
Yeah.
I like how... was this in Future's End, or was it in Swamp Thing? Yeah, it was Future's End. Constantine's spell gave him the Brainiac.
Yeah,
he did the thing where. Yeah. I still don't get Constantine's involvement in Brainiac and alien stuff. It doesn't make any sense.
He's getting Superman back in the game,
but I do like the giant warthog against the corn people.
Yeah, those corn people, they were crazy.
I hate corn people.
Reminded me of that Swamp Thing. Remember the Swamp Thing issue where he's a popcorn and he grows in the theater? He's like, that's what it reminded me of. Where's Swamp Thing in all this? He's just not doing anything? He just is like, my involvement isn't
worth. Maybe he doesn't survive the last issue and there is no
survival. Well, he did have his own issue.
Kid the Future is End issue.
Yeah, he did.
That's right. Okay.
They just don't want to use him. Okay. Jerks. You know?
Yeah, yeah, has he been in this?
No.
Okay. My last one is Witches 4, which is getting confusing.
Witches.
Yeah.
Don't even remember what happened.
This is a pretty dark issue.
That's one I didn't
know. Yeah, where... Yeah, he's got veins talking. Flashback, the Ferris wheel.
The one-legged witch.
The no-legged witch one that kills himself. Or kills herself.
Yeah, that looked like a guy, but...
Yeah, I was very confused by all of that.
You had a good point about the art.
I don't like the watercolor splash overlays.
I kind of do.
Do you? Yeah. I find it very distracting.
I think it works well for that book. Okay. For the way the tone in the story is, I think it works well. Because I think it's meant to be kind of like startling.
It's kind of an art is in the eye of the beholder type thing. That
and his taste is terrible. You don't know that.
It's eyes mainly. Backgrounds aren't usually an issue. So maybe he's on to something.
I'm kidding. Your taste is fine, Colin.
No, it's okay.
Maybe not Jimmy's, but...
And then what's the wife at the end? That was like, what? What the hell?
Not remembering?
Yeah.
Well, they've said that. They said the whole thing, you know, whenever the witches take someone as pledged, they make people forget that person ever even existed.
Gotcha.
It's part of the package.
I was reading online that people have been commenting about this book, and one person read something interesting. He said he cares more about the story in the back about Scott Snyder's life than the story of everything going on in the book.
I love the story in the back.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. And he posts things online anymore on Instagram and stuff like that where he's like, you know, posting about little things like that. But
I like it.
I think it's a little nice addition to that book. Mm-hmm.
I like Witches. I think it's a good book.
But so far, issue 1, 2, and 3, I liked. I didn't get to read this 4. But, you know, once in a while you're going to get an issue that's just going to be more explaining than what more less interesting, more explaining.
See, I don't know. I thought it was pretty interesting because you got flashbacks of, you know, I can't think of the main guy's name now. Him and his daughter, Sale, whatever. She was a bit younger before they moved, and he was trying to, I guess, help her get over anxiety by being drunk at the top of a Ferris wheel tub and climbed to the top.
But then there were witches on the top of it.
She had her anxiety because of the issue happening with the girl, the bully.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe so. But it was good. It's, you know, I have no idea where they're going with it.
Yeah.
What's that?
Bully. She was major. Yeah. I mean, she terrified me, so he did a good job writing that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was just terrifying.
Yeah.
She got sucked into a tree. I feel bad for the friend, the colleague of the dad. And he's just
what was it with the deer
that ran the house and
tongue fell out?
And then the weird witch who like comes or whatever
that
person.
That's
oh, you'll get to that. Yeah, you'll get to that.
It's in this one too.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done. I'm out. Tapped.
Okay.
That's a podcast. Oh, wait. Okay.
A list? You have a list?
I have a list. It's usually up here, but nobody likes that.
He finally woke up before noon, so he had time to get
some. I'll wake up before blah, blah, blah.
Jimmy.
That's all I got to say anymore.
Jimmy's
not taking his clothes off, Colin. Okay. I don't know. You said it. Now,
I don't want to be part of this podcast anymore.
I don't blame you.
Stranger danger.
It's terrifying. Detective 39.
Awesome.
It's the third issue into this arc, I believe.
Third or fourth.
Yeah. It's dealing with anarchy. It's a brand new idea of anarchy. And we're not sure who it is, but I think I have an idea of who it is, but they could be leading us in a different direction.
I have no idea who it is.
But Lonnie is killed. Well, I was thinking
he's not killed. He's still alive.
I'm sorry, yeah. But I have a feeling it's the... They want you to believe it's the city councilman is anarchy. But I don't think that's who it is. But, yeah, Lonnie's still alive. Basically, if he dies, like the city, because of him being shot, they think Batman shot him. Or some of them, I think, still do think
Batman
the police
couldn't
shot him.
Shoot him.
And
he doesn't use guns.
They
except for when he does.
So he's still they're basically the city goes crazy because of these masks that have been sent to every household to wear and rebel if they feel like it or something like that. Do what you want to do.
Kind of the purge?
Kinda, yeah. And they do, majority of them are doing it for the wrong reasons. Lonnie had that mask and then he was shot. And because they couldn't tell who was who. But they're blaming it on the city is just shooting people just because they can. So that's kind of the basis of what's been happening. Also, at the beginning of the story, of the first issue, these skulls were found. And it turned out that they were kids from, I believe it was that school, right? From Batman, where Lincoln March, or maybe it's not the school, but is it that home for kids? That Lincoln March was in?
I think so.
And they're basically, he's trying to figure out there's a link to these skulls and that and Mad Hatter. Because Mad Hatter is who he was after, who the skulls were close to.
Yeah.
And now they're combining this anarchy stuff with Mad Hatter.
Yeah.
And that he's involved and that the mask that they're wearing is actually Alice.
Yeah.
And it was good. It was a really good issue.
I've love always how liked Bullock's the character. Being written in this
yeah,
book.
And that's the other thing I like really about this book is that they're incorporating Bullock more as a character, which he was more side character. And Detective Comics is basically the Batman Bullock book, where you have you have the Batman book, which is Batman. You have Batman and Robin, which is Batman and Robin, and you have usually Batman and the GCPD, where he's solving cases. So it kind of works being it's the detective book. And that's what he's been doing. That's what they've been kind of doing with this book since it started, I think. But it just didn't get that start. It didn't have a very good writer on it at the time. They just couldn't. It's not that he was a bad writer. It's just he could not write the Batman story people were wanting.
Mm-hmm.
But all in all, it's just, Bullock, he's been a great character in this. He's, the main, basically, Batman sidekick in this book. And he's been, with him trying to solve cases for since the creative team started. So that's kind of the direction they're going in. I think it's been a good book.
He gets shanked in this issue?
Did he? Oh, yeah, he did.
Yeah, Batman got stabbed through the hand. Batman did,
too, through the hand. Yeah, they were all after him. Because they tried to go in and investigate this, whatever this school is.
Yeah, this home, whatever.
And some people were in there that were already wearing the anarchy masks.
And those masks were different. Those masks had the Mad Hatter tech.
Yeah, that's right. They had this.
But Mad Hatter's not involved with them.
I wonder if all of them have Mad Hatter tech in them, though. Because everybody who wears them seems to kind
of... Because he's examined some of them.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And there hasn't been anything inside them, just normal masks.
Yeah. But it's there's a lot going on with this. There's a lot going on with who Anarchy is.
Yeah.
And then,
I wasn't expecting Hatter to be a primary target for Anarchy.
I wasn't expecting that either. And I think it tied it all together really well in this issue. So this book is really, right now with this creative team, it's really worth adding to your list. It's been good. Green Lantern, number 39.
Yeah, that. Yeah.
It was good. It starts something a little bit. Hal, they did, the Guardians decided to keep Hal as
they did. The way they did it though was very strange because 2 issues ago you need to go back to Earth. You need to
they were very
According
and they kind of they explained what they were doing. Like they wanted him to take a break is what they wanted after all these events, which they kind of explained they're not trying to be like their predecessors.
Yeah.
They are, if they see that, after all of this stuff, maybe their leader does need a break or something like that. So that's why they told him. But he assumed that they were acting like the old Guardians and they were just like,
they're getting ready to take his reign.
We're ready to take everything away. And that's what he's been dealing with for a long time, Hal has. But basically, at the beginning of the book, it starts with a planet that we don't know of. I guess. I at least didn't know of it. And it shows everything is normal, but, something strikes it with some sort of weaponry, and it turns the planet, looks like, into, stone or something like that.
Yeah.
And that's what the Guardians are investigating before Hal comes
in.
And so I have a feeling that's where we're going to go through now with the book.
Which it kind of bums me out a little bit, because I was hoping the book would go back into the whole, them being Galactic police force, yeah. A little bit, not some huge threat. I mean, we've had too many huge threats. Yeah.
Well, but even with the Galactic Police Force, they're not very well liked in the universe. And that was definitely touched on. Yeah.
Yeah, I was just gonna mention
and
that
I hope that's a big focus in, you know, trying to get that, you know,
earn the reputation back, yeah.
And not just, you know, there's this other huge, you know, universal threat out there.
I like those that part of the book where Hal is trying to catch, like, they're like bounties or something like that, or poachers or mm-hmm. something.
There's illegal mining.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Yeah,
yeah, and they're after something, and they the planet that they're surrounding, it comes up, and their police come up, and they're just like, "Yeah, we need you to leave," and he's just like, "Well, I'm taking them away," and he's just like, "No, not them, you."
Like, you know, from one cop to another, I appreciate what you do. And I get the hell
and
off
it was
my
really
planet.
Simple. I really liked it because they were just like, yeah, and he told him that. Basically, you know, it gives you a lot to think of and what's going to happen in the future of Green Lantern. Yeah. Because there is. The guy wasn't that far off being wrong. It was a good issue.
I wonder if that means that they're going to bring back the Alpha Lanterns. Or if not the Alpha Lanterns, something to that effect, like the police, the Green Lanterns, like an internal affairs type deal.
I doubt they would.
That'd be a good job for Guy. Bring him back.
Well, if they have something similar is what you're saying. Yeah. Not them exactly. Yeah.
Making
the
robots.
Guardians are dead, so they can't make any of that stuff anymore. And the Guardians you have now are...
Well, but that's the second time they made robots, and it didn't really work out too well either time. So.
Weird cyborgs. I liked it. It just, that went on for a long time. And I didn't really like it going on for as long as it did.
Because that went on for probably 20 or 30 issues.
Yeah, it went on for a while.
In John's run.
But the only thing it was good about it was it showed, it gave you a sense of who the Guardians were.
Yeah.
What they were now. And you got to look at them in a different light to say, wow. I liked how original podcast Ryan Sargent was on here and he called him straight up Little Blue Space Hitlers. And everybody liked that at that time because that's what they, They were Little Blue Space Hitlers. And, it did.
It took a while to get there.
I can't say anything bad about John's run on,
no, because it was, what, 88 issues, something like that? Because it was 67 issues.
Oh, he was almost on there for, what, 10 years? Almost.
Yeah. Well, Volume 4, he was on it for the whole run.
He was on it through...
it was 67 issues.
Infinite Crisis.
Yeah.
He was on it. It was around that time Infinite Crisis was on.
2005, I think, was when his run started.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And then, so he was on for that all the way through War of the Green Lanterns, and then he stayed on it for New 52 up until, I think, issue 20.
Yeah, because Identity Crisis, Hal was Spectre. And then that was the whole transition. Hal was in Infinite Crisis. It was around that time. That's right. It was good. I like the direction, where it's going. It's creative team. The team isn't changing, is it?
No. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, it's still going to be Robert Venditti, Van Jensen.
Okay.
And I forget who's on art.
And now I'm just waiting for Green Lantern Corps to come out and make sure it doesn't have a bunch of typos in it. Bubble problems that the other one did.
They screwed up the oath.
Yeah, and you showed me that. I didn't even notice that one, but yeah, they did. They screwed up the oath in it. I don't even know how it worked. You know, we've known for years, this is how it works, and then they said
that,
it
and then you're just standing like...
And then they're just like, what happened? And the artist is like, whoops.
This is why you're not in charge.
Breaks the fourth wall. Swamp Thing. Swamp Thing was good.
I loved Swamp Thing.
It was good. I'm going to miss that.
I'm going to miss it big time. That's one of my favorite, if not my favorite, monthly book right now.
And the whole thing, I keep looking at Charles Soule, and I'm like,
what a dumb move.
What a stupid,
dumb move.
Just like, look at the books that he
you
has
don't
out
know
right
what,
now.
Yeah, but you don't know
he
what he's
may
got.
He gotten a ton of money out of it, but any of his books he's putting out for Marvel are not getting the same sort of...
How about Thunderbolts?
Well, that one, he got good critical reception for Thunderbolts.
But Inhuman.
She-Hulk, Inhuman.
I don't know, like... Wolverines is really killing it right now.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Inhuman, really killing it right now.
And then he had like Swamp Thing, but Swamp Thing was really good. It's going in. It's what I don't know where it is exactly in this story arc, but
I love the scene where he found out that it was Lady Weeds.
Yeah, and she transforms. She's able to do something into like a dandelion or something,
which is something she didn't.
Yeah.
when they're in the green. Yeah. But he figures out kind of what's going on, that Anton Arcane is in the green right now and he's poisoning it. And yeah. That's basically killing off all plant life on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then Abigail knows she's teamed up with Swamp Thing. And
she knows something's going on because she's not, her parliament's not talking
to her.
Who's
the fungus?
Who's the fungus?
The gray. Where is she?
She's, I mean, last we saw her was with her creepy threesome with,
yeah, but Lady then Weeds she was and... supposed to be in the green. They both went into the green. And I haven't seen her at all.
We only briefly saw inside the green.
Well, she was there. Like, she wasn't in the green yet, but she was there because the reason the guy from the Serene is hypnotized right now is because she... I don't know if she maybe fully went in him or what, but she used a...
Jimmy style?
She used a... that fungus that basically in real life it brings things... It controls bodies, basically, is what it's doing.
Poor Jimmy.
Right? It's called heroin.
Yeah. No, this one isn't. the ending was the best part, though. Basically,
yeah,
it
him
shows
him...
you that he actually stored away the rest of the green.
Yeah, he didn't actually, like, kill off the parliament or anything.
He kind of saved them. And then he...
ripped open his stomach and pulled him out.
To defeat Anton, and then they're just like, what have you done?
And what I thought he was going to do, I thought it was going to somehow tie into the Future's End issue, where he had the lantern ring inside of him. I thought that's what he was going for. I didn't realize it was going to be the whole parliament and the rest of the green. And they just come out like,
we just had the head.
Holland, what have you done?
Like, yeah. And then he's just, it's kind of... I can't really tell if they were wrong or if he was wrong. Like, in the situation, I think they were wrong.
I think
they were
both wrong.
But, yeah.
I think they were wrong in that they were just trying to instantly, like, replace him with whatever the next, you know, whatever the new thing might be in terms of the avatar.
Cedar.
Yeah. But he was also wrong in his, you know, initial reaction of, I don't need the parliament. I can do this all myself. And
yeah.
So... But everyone learned a lesson, and they'll come out better in the end.
Everybody learned their lesson, and they all lived happily ever after.
You know, I learned something today.
We're not mad at you, Alec. We're just disappointed.
Earth 2. Earth 2 was good. The funny thing about Earth 2 is that it's almost like it switched places with World's End.
Yeah.
Like the creative, like it hasn't been as good, but. World's End has been good, and it seems like it's become the Earth 2 book that we were reading. But basically, what was this one? It was basically the Avatar fight, wasn't it? Did you read Earth 2?
Yeah, I did, but I can't remember if that was World's End or if that was...
That's the whole thing that's throwing me off, is it if it was...
Because I thought the Avatar fight was in World's End.
I know Darkseid showed up in one of them.
Nah, because
I thought basically this one was when the
that was the Avatar fight was in.
Okay, it's when the Avatar is that the
Parliament Enclave is the end of
that's World's End. World's End. Well, that's the one I remember. Then, well, World's End we'll talk about because I don't remember what happened at Earth too. Basically that's they're doing their fight with Darkseid or Apocalypse still. They've taken out. The parademons and all that stuff. And they're basically wanting to either go against Darkseid and Apocalypse, or Jimmy Olsen is trying to...
Save everybody
because he has a way of... he found a ship or something.
Yeah,
something.
Palmer's Ark or whatever. I think that was Earth 2 was where that was happening.
Okay.
Like I said, they're blending together.
Yes, they're really blending them. And it's really hard to know. But basically, they're trying to either do what they're doing in Future's End, where they're escaping, I think, because the ship that they showed looks like the ships that they were coming into on that issue.
Yeah.
That explained it, Future's End, of what happened.
Yeah, because I think they said they can fit, like, 100,000 people in it or something like that.
Right now, they're in what they're calling Adam's Haven. And it's basically that the Adam of Earth 2, which I forget his name, he goes, basically, drops down into a hole. And enlarges and sacrifices himself to create basically a cavern in the earth that can hold like millions of people. Huh. And so that's where everybody is on there, and they're trying to protect it. And there's like a new type of parademon, which is called it's a fury. They're calling him something fury, like a proto fury, I think.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, proto fury.
And so they're dealing with that. But there's a lot going on in this book. Like, Earth 2 has been really good from the beginning. It feels like it just keeps moving and moving. And there's a lot happening. And I think that's what people are liking about it. It just has a lot going on in the book. So it's been good. The last one I read was Birthright. I've really liked Birthright. I don't know if any of you were reading it. Dave, are you reading Birthright?
I kind of slacked off when I haven't bought the last couple of issues. I'm sorry, John.
Well, he wasn't here last week. He was held captive in the basement by Colin.
With Jimmy.
Dude, he yelled, Colin,
Jimmy, you're up again. Birthright, basically, do a quick summary of it, is this kid who is lost. Was taken from his father, and they thought he was dead, and they thought that his father killed him, was actually taken to some sort of, like, fantasy world, that he's brought there because he's destined to take on the big evil of their world, which is called War, and he's the only one...
Data's brother?
Yeah, that's true. He's the only one who's able... From Star Wars.
Yeah.
Who's David?
Screw you guys.
Right there.
He's destined to deal with this situation, and that's why they brought him here. So as he gets older, supposedly he deals with the situation. We don't know how. They haven't showed us that yet. And he shows back up on Earth as an adult, which it's only been on our Earth like a few years. And he shows up, and the FBI has him, and he says, you know, he's their son. And the mother can't believe it because the mother really thinks the father did kill him. And it's caused problems with their family and all that. And the whole time in the first issue, they show that it is him. But the problem is that he is actually possessed by Lore, and he's there to break the barrier. And they explain it in this issue and this last issue that he's there. He needs to break the barrier from Earth to this world, this fantasy world. And, he's there and he's getting the help from his older brother, which looks like his little brother in this, cause he's younger than him now. And his father, and they have to go after these four wizards and that are on Earth. And when they find one of the wizards, he even knows, he's just like, why are you coming after me? What is this? And he keeps making it as he's evil. But while you're reading it, you figure out he's not the bad guy. There's something more going on, and we know that he was possessed by this evil character. And the wizard knows, but they still kill him off. But it's been different. Like, it keeps having... Each issue kind of adds something to it, which is something that I like when I'm reading a new story, that we don't just get the same thing for three issues, and then finally they give us a little bit of something.
I prefer the same thing.
You want to wait for the same thing?
Just personal. That's my own personal preference.
But it's been good. I mean, it has been good. It was kind of one of those that I was going through, and I was like, I need something different to read. And I saw it in an ad in the back of one of the Image books. Might have been Outcast. And I said, you know, that sounds interesting. We'll try that out. It has for five issues, or this is issue five, so it's been decent. So I recommend picking it up and seeing if you like it. I mean, if you like that type of thing, kind of a fantasy-type story, but it's also kind of a mystery-type story in a modern world, and all these things merge together, you might like it, so...
He's talking to you, Dave.
Dave, yeah. You probably will like it. You better get it, Dave.
Pick it up.
Better.
I will scrounge for some more pennies
to buy it. Give Dave some money, Pat.
He's Santa Claus. What does he need money for?
He gave it all away.
Just steal it like everybody else.
I give to you people. This is the things I get.
Come on.
If he got his birthday points, he would have been able to get it.
Yeah.
He was the only one getting the
birthday.
That's
right.
Oh, yeah,
that's
forgot.
Right. Yeah,
that's
he
forgot.
Is the one that got his birthday point.
He was the one. Discrimination, Colin. It's not cool. I'm sure. Pat, move on.
Ant-Man 2.
I read that.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I'm really liking it.
I am too. So
you're both just like
how you like it. I'm liking it. Moving.
So
I can say more about it.
Yeah, no, second night. So in this issue, at the end of last issue, he moves to Miami to be with his daughter, who I guess he's originally from that area, and so is his wife, and she moves her.
Cassie's alive.
Yeah, Cassie's alive, and they're moving out of New York because. I forget the example she used, but every time you turn around, a Hulk destroys a city or you know something. So they moved to Miami.
They never moved. Nothing ever attacks Miami.
No.
I guess is what they
so except for the Scott game. Moves to Miami.
Sounds nice. Will Smith had a song about it.
Yeah.
That's what it. That was.
That's what it was. So.
I think Will Smith has been brought up what twice.
Twice now.
In
yeah.
This podcast already.
He's relevant.
Yeah.
Will Smith is relevant.
He's going to be Deadshot in the Suicide Squad.
He and Harley
Squad
Quinn have their own movie out right now.
Yeah. Well, and he's going to be Deadshot in the Suicide Squad. So yeah. So Scott Lang is living in a toy house, like a Barbie dream house, and he needs
plastic beds that I can be too comfortable.
He needs a job, basically. So he's decided he's going to start the Ant-Man security company because who knows better how to protect your stuff than the guy that used to steal your stuff.
Yeah.
So he goes to the bank, and he's there to try to convince them. And the whole time, they're like, no, you're not getting our money, except for this one older woman who wants to hear him out. Well, he shuts off the power grid, and it disables all their vaults, and he's like, see, so here's what happens. Well, come to find out, there was like a Nazi robot that spits gold.
Of course
in
there
was. Yeah, it, so he defeats this robot, and at first he stole the money he would need, and then he has a change of heart because as he's leaving, the old woman says, well, I like the way you do things. I'm going to give you the money. It's not going to come from the bank. It's going to be from me. We're going to be 50-50 partners. And, you know, he's like, well, you know, why are you doing this? And so I like the way you do things. How do you think the robot got in there in the first place? And then he goes back and he puts the money back, you know, without anybody knowing that he stole the money. And his whole rationale is, well, they're working with Nazis. So if I steal their money, who really cares? Other than the Nazis, but
the robot spits gold.
Yeah.
Why do they need money?
That was the whole thing. It was like somebody from it, you know, I guess like Hydra built. They were into alchemy and robotics and built a robot that can spit gold. But if they have that, why do you're
does
right? Why
it,
do they
do anything else?
Just spit it money. Destroys the bank.
Okay.
Well, now they have to pay all this gold money to insurance people.
Right, but they got.
I'm breaking all of your stuff, but here's some gold to make up for it.
Yes.
And the bank's like, do we win in the outcome of this?
But, you know, the gold's going to be more valuable than the paper money anyway, so it's okay.
Yeah, so they're just like, what? Rob our bank anytime, gold yeah. Nazi
why
spinning
did,
robot.
Why didn't we do this earlier?
Robot, come destroy my house!
These Nazis, they're not thinking it out anymore.
It was actually a robot that damaged their car, but they mistook that robot for a different one.
That's right.
We have a copper spinning. What? Oh, God. We don't want that one. I don't know about this book.
So, but it was a fun book.
You sold it until
it's
then.
A lot of fun.
I started questioning. What?
Well, yeah, but I can question
there
every
book. There are
holes
in this plot. Wait a minute.
You have a point there.
Yeah, but it was a fun book, and,
big gold
and that's...
Hole.
You know,
yes, it's where it was. I like he had has a fight with Grizzly at the beginning.
That's right, yeah.
And
you couldn't have saved that book. You just added Grizzly.
Yeah, and then they finally figure out that Grizzly's got the wrong Ant-Man, and he really wants to beat up Erica O'Grady.
Is Erica?
No, and Erica O'Grady's dead, and that's what Scott Lang says. Because first he was like. It's not me. Well, what do you mean it's not you? You're Ant-Man. Right, but there's been lots of Ant-Man. And then he says, you know, was he smart? No, definitely not smart. Then it was O'Grady.
And Grizzly's like, there's been one Grizzly. It's all it needed.
He has these billboards with Tony Stark as Iron Man on there. You know, it's like a, you know, saying you should hire Ant-Man, and he's like, you know, Tony won't be bothered by this at all. And then there's just one panel of Tony Stark going, Sue.
That's funny.
So, it's a fun book.
No, it's what it sounds like. It's really just a fun book.
Which is good. Yeah.
I like the idea of the character that they're using instead of using Pym, because Pym is just like any Marvel character who's a scientist.
Oh, but Pym's an ass,
got,
too.
Yeah, and then you got this guy, which is like a basic person.
There's a redemption arc.
And he
for
works
him,
more but... with Marvel yeah. in that case. Yeah. Like Spider-Man. Yeah. He has powers, but he's a basic human being.
It's one of those books where I wouldn't have minded picking up and reading, but I didn't feel like paying $5 for Fortress because it was number one.
That's yeah. the thing.
Or so. But they, there was, you they, know what though, there was actually a lot of story
a heavy
in
week
that. Colin,
don't judge me.
There was a lot of story in that compared to Star like Wars that came that out week. The same week.
And you maybe probably like, didn't know how to order that book, did you? Yeah. Like, how can you? Like, who would you think would want that?
Everybody.
Well, based on the trailer, you had to assume people were going to be busted on the door to get in here. And
well, true.
Yeah. Book. Yeah, if they ever come out with a Skrull Girl movie.
Especially if the trailer you couldn't see. The little trailer.
Yeah.
Everybody would have been like, they had a little trailer. They
it was clever.
Here.
I'm mad at myself for clicking on that trailer.
I knew it was, and I clicked on it because
that's
I said...
That's what I'm saying. Like, I knew what it was going to be, I said, and I still clicked on it and watched
well,
it.
Well, I had to... You have to at least see it to criticize it.
The tiny one?
Yeah.
And I watched it, and I was like, this is stupid. And at least I could say, truthfully, I watched it. It was stupid. You know?
I guess I'd like to think that I could have trusted myself to say it was stupid without watching it.
Yeah.
But that didn't stop you from
wanted to see how stupid it was.
That's right.
That's what it was.
I was
that's
like, it. Surely you're
There's
wrong.
Nothing wrong with
surely
it.
It's not as stupid as you think it is.
No, you can't think that way. You have to assume it's stupid.
Au contraire, it was that dumb.
It's stupid to stop calling me sure.
So moving on. Shaft number 3. Anybody else reading that?
I think you're the only one reading.
You guys are missing out. Shaft is a good book.
But
I'm talking about Shaft.
My duty. Please
get it.
So, picking up from the last issue, his girlfriend had been killed. Well, he gets picked up.
Why does Shaft have a girlfriend?
This is Shaft before he becomes
Shaft.
Everyone
should be his girlfriend.
No, this is before he's a black private dick that's a sex machine to all the chicks.
Oh, so they're doing like the James Bond thing.
This is... They said it takes place 2 years before the movie or the book. So
she's his Vesper.
Yeah, exactly. So he gets picked up for it. And the guy that he was working for had worked with the chief detective and basically says, you could spend a lot of time trying to figure this out, or you could just let him off the leash and let him do what he does. Either way, God is God. So... that's what they decide to do is, you know, let him go figure out who created all these, you know, dead bodies and why. So he gets picked up by, after he gets let out of, you know, being held by the police, he gets picked up by a gangster that wanted him to throw a fight in the first issue and he refused to do it. Who basically told him, you know, you've already screwed up once. You got two choices. You're either going to help me or you're going to, you know, be killed now. So he agrees to help them. And, you know, the first thing the guy says as soon as he gets back in his car is, as soon as this is done, we're going to kill him anyway. So it's just kind of moving on to that. But it's been a good book. It's paced itself pretty well. It's definitely a mature read. You know, the language in there's the language in there's a little bit much, but it was.
Can you imagine a Shaft all ages book?
Little Shaft.
Little Shaft.
Little Shafts.
Little
Shafts.
Next to Little Gotham.
So, but
little
it's
Hellboy.
Yeah, it's been a
that
decent
a
book,
thing.
And I recommend you pick this one up.
Get it right, Adam.
It's the Art Balthazar stuff.
Yeah, it's actually pretty good.
And the last one I read was Superman Earth 1 number 3, which was the hardback that came out last week.
Mm, okay.
That's not a comic book.
Yes, it is. It's got pictures. It's got
How
words.
Was that?
I liked it. I've
heard,
liked all the Earth 1 stuff. This one picks up after, obviously, the second one. So Superman had basically done a regime change without getting anybody's approval on this. So the UN is not real happy about the, you know, him going and doing it. And, you know, his feeling is it had to be done. This guy was evil. He was killing his people. I had to do it.
It's just like when he got rid of all the nukes.
Yeah. Well, so in the meantime, Lex Luthor had and his wife in this is Alexa. They had figured out, I don't remember if it's the first one, Earth 2, or the second one, when he's fighting Parasite, he gets weakened, and they figure out what's causing it, and it was the Red Sun. So he develops this weapon in order to depower Superman.
I thought, for a second, I thought you did, but I lost what you were talking about, because you said Earth 2, and I said, I don't remember anything that's happening.
No, Earth 1, you're good, issue 2. So in the meantime, Zod comes, and apparently, you know, Zod is Zod. But when he first shows up, he comes to Superman and, you know, tries to get on his good side. Is all part of a scheme. He wants to kill Superman, but, you know, hey, we're part of the same family and all this other stuff. So Superman goes back to his Fortress of Solitude to find out about Zod, because he doesn't completely trust him. And at first it was all the records of Zod had been classified, for a lack of a better word. But he's able to decrypt them and then find out, you know, Zod is really, you know, he's not a good guy. Here's what he, you know, what he did to your home planet. And, you know, you're probably not going to be able to fight him because he has the same powers as you, except he's a soldier. You know, kind of like the problems that we had with Man of Steel, where you have the same power set, except for this guy's been trained to kill his whole life, and mm-hmm. Superman hasn't. So Zod goes to the UN and says, look, I can get rid of this guy for you, but the whole deal is everybody has to just stay out of it. So, you know, the whole UN decides, hey, this isn't bad. This guy's going to get rid of Superman for us because we can't. And we'll, you know, we'll just stay out of it. So as the fight goes on, that's what happens in different countries. The armies of the world say, no matter what happens, just let it happen. They figure out that Zod is Zod. So Lex basically decides he's going to save Superman. And in doing this, he gets injured, and it, you know, very severely. And Alexa completely blames Superman for it, even though he had nothing to do. He was fighting Zod. Zod was the one that hurt Lex, but the roles are reversed. Alexa is very much like Lex Luthor of, you know, main continuity, where it's a jealousy thing. She just hates him because she hates him. And, you know, even though he's not at fault, his presence makes him at fault. So it's a very different dynamic there. As I said, I've liked every one of the Earth One books that have come out so far, because it's a different take. I'm not a big Superman fan, mm-hmm. But this has been very good. The three volumes have come out. You know, there's subplots. In the second one, I think you find out that his neighbor is an escort. Like, she's an actress / model, but in order to make ends meet, she's an escort. And, you know, he likes her, but is, you know, for obvious reasons, is afraid of getting in a relationship with her. So that plays out a little bit more in this, and there's some resolution to that. You know, it's a shame it takes 2 years for these books to come out, because I think they're really good. You know, the Batman Earth One's been really good, and I know the second one's supposed to come out in the next couple months.
It's funny that it's really odd that they've had three Superman books have already come out for this, and we've gotten one Batman.
Batman came out around the time that Superman 2 came out.
Yeah, the second
Superman had, and Batman 2 is on its way.
Yeah, but I think that comes out in May. Well, it has. The Batman, I think, was 2013. So it's been about 2 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, they had the Wonder Woman one that was announced, and that one hasn't come out yet. Teen Titans was good.
Yeah, that one I didn't read.
so good you broke yours.
Mm-hmm. That's just how good it was. I opened it up, damn, and you know, it just broke in half.
And you were like, this was good.
This was awesome.
Colin, I don't know what happened.
So
it was awesome.
Yeah. But I highly recommend it if you've enjoyed the other ones, getting that, or if you just enjoyed the Batman one. The Supermans are good reads. I think the first two are in trade, and you know, the third one's a hardback, but it's been really, really good. Dave?
There's still books to talk about. It's hard to believe. But last week's Hulk, number 11.
Doc Green.
The first part of the book is a fight between Doc Green and Lyra. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. Hulk's daughter. I'm not sure of her backstory, really.
I didn't know Hulk had a daughter, so.
But it was daughter in quotation marks.
Okay.
So, I'm not just.
It's like waiting for like a radio show, because we're always like waiting for the continuing adventure. I feel like I'm waiting for the continuing adventures of Doc Green. That would happen. Dave's always
last week on Doc Green.
Last week.
Be sure to drink your Ovaltine.
He sounds like
it's every month. I think just every 4 weeks or so. But the last half of the book is interesting. Doc Green, he creates this created this artificial intelligence that has his mind in it at the height of its extremist enhanced brain. And then this artificial intelligence tells Doc Green that his extremist is failing in his body. So this artificial intelligence was created as a failsafe in case Banner reemerged, because he's trying to subdue Banner from ever coming back. And this artificial intelligence is second-guessing Doc Green's opinions, because at the end of this fight with Lyra, the artificial intelligence interferes and sends her off to another dimension or somewhere crazy, and Doc Green didn't want to do that.
It's like a new Ultron.
And at the end of the book, the artificial intelligence gets away, and it, on the last page, it jumps into, an unnamed agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. So it's on the loose.
Ward.
It might be Ward. You never know.
It's kind of interesting that they used Extremis with Hulk. Because Extremis usually burns out the host. And with Hulk,
You don't have to worry about that.
It wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that's kind of an interesting idea.
So Doc Green, he's like, oh, he's really... And he actually, you know, gets humility and gets afraid, you know, and thinking, you know, I shouldn't have created this artificial intelligence.
I don't like a sad Hulk. I like a mad Hulk.
We know Colin does, huh?
Hulk.
He doesn't like Clue.
Yeah.
He did do some smashing and smushing, you know, at the beginning of the book.
Smushing.
Clue cry.
That's what Clue does.
And everything else we talked about that I read, but I want to...
I'm drawing a building.
I just want to mention, 2 weeks ago, this Abigail and the Snowman, number 2. It's an all-ages book. If anybody out in listeners want an all-ages book, podcast. And I say that in the best...
You're about to say, like, in TV land or somewhere.
I was going to say podcast land, but I stopped myself.
Radio land.
And if anybody's looking for an all-ages book, and I use that term in the best sense of the word... it's a really, really cute book, and I think all ages can enjoy it.
I like how he protected himself by saying, like, the best, after him or something.
Well, yeah, it's a little girl. She finds this abominable snowman, Yeti, and only kids can see, and these men in black are after it. And,
Will Smith.
And that's great. Yeah, back to
Tommy Lee Jones.
And the issue takes place at school, and they like thwart these guys. And
with Will Smith.
On the last page, they call in this other guy to come in to try to capture the snowman. And they show the guy on Scotland, and he's like sitting on the shore with a big net over the Loch Ness Monster.
It's a pretty big net.
It was a big net.
We don't really know how big the Loch Ness Monster is.
So that's from Boom Studios, and it's really enjoyable.
They're going to get Colin nice and drunk next week.
On the bus.
That's it. Everything else was talked about.
The only one that I want to mention that we haven't talked about already is, well, I guess there's two. First would be Action Comics 39. Are any of you guys reading that?
I'm not reading it, but I'd like to because of Greg Pak. I think Greg Pak's done a good job.
Greg Pak has done a great job. Like this issue wrapped up their post-Doom arc, and this arc's been kind of a horror story arc. So a lot of, you know, creepy visuals, and it's been a good Superman horror story. But so with this issue, you find out that the threat that they've been facing in Smallville is the Ultra Humanite, and he was trapped in the Phantom Zone and found a way, you know, out of it, and a way to, you know, reach the people that were in Smallville, and it's feeding off of their fears and their terrors, and it has Lana, and some of the people in Smallville have also gotten some powers from Brainiac to where they can, you know, close this portal to prevent the Ultra Humanite from being able to, you know, affect them any longer, but Superman and Steel stop them so that they can try to save Lana first. And Superman ends up, you know, beating it and saving Lana by sacrificing himself.
We say a lot of dirty things throughout this podcast.
I didn't get what you laughed about until...
I'm sorry, I had got him.
So he sacrifices himself to the Ultra Humanite by essentially saying that, you know, his own fears and his own nightmares and his own terrors are greater than anything else that the Ultra Humanite could experience, because that's what he feeds off of. So he starts feeding off of Superman, and you get to see, like, all the things that Superman is afraid of, all what his, you know, terrors are. And it does a good job of, like, really humanizing Superman, because Superman, I mean, sometimes he becomes kind of a joke character because you think he's just so powerful, there's nothing that can stop him, but you see that, you know, how he looks at the rest of humanity and sees himself outliving everyone, and he's just this eternally alone, you know, character. And ends up winning because the Ultra Humanite becomes completely, you know, full. Like, he has had, you know, enough terror. Like, he no longer has this hunger. And allows them, gives them time to escape and get back to Smallville so they can close the portal and, you know, block him back off. But it was a good arc. The concept was different from the main Superman book, but it was a nice horror story, and different from how Superman normally goes up against his villains with the, you know, just sheer brute force.
I'm gonna punch him.
Yeah, it was nice to see, like, a different way to, you know, he's taking down this villain, but also, you know, again, humanizing him a little bit more. And then
he's been really... Greg Pak has been,
he's
really
been great.
Good on Batman Superman. I've already talked about that arc last week, I believe that book came, or the week before. It's been really good. I don't know if you're... did you read that, Batman Superman?
I stopped.
If you like his writing on this, you probably would.
I read the first two or three arcs on that. I don't know
if they were all Greg Pak, though, were they?
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
Were they?
I stopped after the crossover with World's Finest.
Okay, yeah, I want
that. It wasn't.
I get what you're saying, yeah. But yeah, I wouldn't have. I think that book, it depends on what arc it was, but World's Finest tie-in wasn't very
good. It was so up and down. I felt that I was reading enough other stuff already dealing with Batman and Superman that,
yeah,
I didn't feel like continuing with it when it was that hit or miss.
Yeah, it is in a way, but like this
but I've heard it's been really good lately.
It's been really good, yeah.
And the only other one that I'll mention is Hawkeye finally came out.
What?
Last week.
What's that?
It's this little...
Hawkeye.
Yeah.
Is it about the guy from MASH?
I want to go home.
Oh.
I'm tired. Adam's milking this.
No, I'm not. I'm asking a serious question.
No, you're not.
So this was part one of the finale, so there's only one issue left. Whether we'll get it before the relaunch of Hawkeye is unknown.
I wonder if we get it before Secret Wars.
Yeah. So this issue was them essentially defending the building from the bros.
Not the bros.
Yeah.
the Russian gangsters. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you have, you know...
Is this a Clint Barton story or is this a Kate Bishop
story? All of okay. them. Kate's,
they had
Kate's
to give
back,
him a story somewhere.
Kate's yeah. back in town. She's only on one page, though. Clint still doesn't have his hearing, so he's reading lips, which leads to some, like, funny things where, you know, panels where he's not sure what someone's saying.
Okay.
So he shoots him.
Yeah.
Shoot first, ask questions later.
Barney's in a wheelchair. And,
oh, yeah, because he was
shot, too.
And who was the guy that was always up... they used to call him Grills, the guy that was always there?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, his dad's there helping out. Like, he has Grills up, up on the roof with hot coals to throw on the bros. But it's them trying to defend the building. And it kind of ends tragically with a certain character possibly being killed off.
They killed Pizza Dog?
Pizza Dog's in it. But... I'm not going to say who might be killed off, because you don't know if he's killed off. So one issue left.
Say it was a rough ending.
Was it Matt Fraction?
What's that?
Was it Matt Fraction?
Matt Fraction. So one issue left. It was a good issue. I enjoyed it. It just, you know, it's a shame it took 3 years for it to finally come out, or however
long. So now the next question is, what do we get, the last issue of Hawkeye or the second issue of Sabrina?
Yeah, that should be a poll. You should do that on your website.
Oh, wow. I thought Sabrina was a one-shot.
Well, that's how they got him to buy 300 yeah. copies, but it wasn't supposed to be.
They sure did get you. See you coming, Colin.
Yeah, they did. They got me. Okay. Good? Okay.
Yeah.
Coming next week, all-new Captain America 4. Autumn Lands Tooth and Claw 4. Batgirl 39. Batman and Robin 39. Batman Superman 19, Bitch Planet number 3, Burning Fields number 2, which is the
Iraqi
oil field thing. 8, which is a Raphael Albuquerque Dark Horse book. It's kind of, you know, sci-fi thing. Fables 149, basically one more issue after that, and then Fables wraps up. Ivar Time Walker number 2, nice. Justice League 39. King finally has the Mandrake the Magician coming out. Mm-hmm. Lady Killer number 1, Second Prince, if you were interested in that. I kept selling out really quickly, finally coming back in. Legendary Green Hornet. Mortal Kombat number 1, Second Prince, sold out of that one immediately. Multiversity Mastermen, that's the Jim Lee one, so hopefully he's been drawing this for 2 years. Pathfinder Origins number 1, Plunder number 1, Red Sonja number 100. In some bizarre numbering scheme, sure. Secret Identities number 1, which is kind of interesting. It's an Image one where it's a superhero team, but one of the members is a mole and is going to divulge all
mole?
Their stuff. Yeah, well, a little mole, yeah.
Yeah, mole. Yeah.
She-Hulk final issue at number 12. Silk number 1. I know everybody's excited.
I'd be more excited for that than Spider-Gwen.
I think she's a good character.
Yeah. I don't think I have a problem. Spider-Gwen, I don't know.
Sparks Nevada, Marshall on Mars. That's never mind. I'm not sure what that is. It's a new number 1 from Image.
It's a book. Get it.
I thought it was something, but I don't think it is now that I think about it. Supergirl 39. Superman, Wonder Woman. The Valiant, number 3.
Ooh, already.
Already. Wow. And that's it. I mean, lots of other stuff.
Are you getting the Lemire cover for that?
I might be.
Oh, it's a 20 cup.
Yeah. It's going to cost you. Big bucks. So that's it. We're like at 2.5 hours here.
That was fun.
Yeah, I'm going to get yelled at when I get home.
Let me ask you, do you now regret making Pat talk about MODOK?
Yeah, kind of.
You waited all this time. Yeah.
Thanks. Rub it in.
I just
thought it was important, because DC had all those big announcements. We had to hit Marvel's big announcement.
I just
want to
see if it did. 2.5 hours, if you... We're regretting making him.
Okay, next week
that.
We'll do 45 minutes.
Next week you won't
on
be
MODOK.
Here.
Yeah.
Oh, sweet. Snap.
Next week you're at your fancy conference.
Next week,
without us.
Next week I'll be at this time
missing
I'll be on
us.
An airplane flying to Chicago.
Unless you want me to do it. That's up to you.
That's up to you guys. If you want to do it, do
you're
it.
You're not here either. Are you?
Yeah,
Pat
be
won't be
here.
Yeah,
don't worry about it, though.
Yeah. Oh, if I'm not here, it's okay, but if Pat's not here, it's no go.
Well,
okay.
He's Pat's new.
That's right.
Good point.
I mean, we can read a list of books coming out next week, but Pat's news is like a study.
It's a staple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk to you in 2 weeks. No show next week, so don't listen.
That's kind of like...
Listen to a previous
podcast. Yeah, don't look for a new one. Yeah, don't look for a new one next week. But that's about it. We'll talk to you.
Send your hate mail, too.
Yeah, they already do.
So, that's a podcast.
Thank you. I'm waiting for that. Jeez. Shadows, cause that's how we get down up in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe, super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The Infinity Watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And from the Hellfire Society studio with Cerebro, mind patterns and rhyme, cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak, like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops, my mixtapes still rock. They're in your system, that's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drake's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's scheming on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. On these cats, right? Yeah. Spitting a rhythm that nobody's getting. I'm down to the infinite watches. The wisdom will baffle these women and children. I'm ripping tracks. I go Mark 5 with a power pack. Hawkeye, what I'm aiming at. Stop time. Watch your chain react. Can't lie. I'm a brainiac. Little they know, I'm stealing the show. I'm filling the streets. Unlimited flow. The second of Doc Ock when I'm killing it. Yo, please. Shots to your chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch. Eating rappers, man, so thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes.